Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Win, lose, or draw, this is history.
If it's Republican, Democrat, it's okay with me.
Voters today casting ballots in what so many Americans are calling a historic election.
Everyone seems to be anticipating record turnout.
That's Lisa LaRue of Politico. There haven't been any major problems reported, but there have been some glitches. John Greenbaum is with the Voter Rights Project, which has received 50,000 calls from voters.
A lot of them have to do with long lines at the polling place caused by machines breaking down, lack of poll workers, and too many voters assigned to the precinct.
Analyst Leonie Huddy has some of the exit poll results we've gotten so far. Change is a theme here.
Almost 3 in 4 people say we're going on the wrong track, and there's a lot of disapproval of President Bush, a lot of disapproval of Congress with very similar numbers. So things are not looking good. The economy is out there as an extremely important issue on people's minds.
Did young voters turn out? CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live.
Well, Cammy, the national exit polls say nearly 1 in 5 voters were under 30, about the same as in 2004. Now, here at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, there is a very long line of students waiting.
This is my second time in line today.
Why are you in line twice?
I had to go to class and I had to come back.
How long did you wait the first time?
About 2.5 hours.
And how long right now?
About 40 minutes. So I got another 2 hours or so ahead of me.
And the wait at the back of this line is now as long as 3.5 hours, even though the polls are supposed to close in 1, Cammy.
Barack Obama and John McCain got in some last-minute campaigning today. Correspondent Steve Futterman begins our coverage from Phoenix.
Well, Cammy, even on Election Day, John McCain made 2 final campaign appearances, the first in Colorado, the second in New Mexico, both states where he's battling Barack Obama down to the wire. McCain realizes he faces an uphill battle. He told the CBS Early Show,
I know I'm still the underdog. I understand that.
Tonight, McCain will be here at his election night headquarters in Phoenix, where he has celebrated past triumphs. He hopes for 1 more triumph tonight. Let's go live now to CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan. He's with the Obama campaign at Chicago's Grant Park.
Obama and wife Michelle went to the polls here in Chicago with their children, and after voting, it was back on the campaign trail, a quick hit across the border into Indiana, a red state. Obama thinks he might be able to win. After some basketball and relaxing, he'll arrive at Grant Park to share in the results with tens of thousands. Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. sees history in the making for the Obamas.
To see them earn the respect and the trust of the American people is a sacred honor.
Along with a good supply of optimism here, heavy security. Cammy?
At CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan in Chicago, checking some other exit poll results, 2/3 of voters said they're worried about being able to afford the health care they need, and 1 in 10 voters said they were voting this year for the first time. On Wall Street, a sort of Election Day rally, the Dow finishing up 305 points. This is CBS News.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now. 1-800-400-1443.
General David Petraeus is in Afghanistan, his first visit there since taking over the U.S. Central Command as chief. This has been the deadliest year yet for U.S. troops in Afghanistan. An internal U.S. military report now says a deadly attack on U.S. forces there this summer was carried out with the support of local police and government leaders. They were helped by villagers. 9 American troops died when insurgents attacked their outpost in eastern Afghanistan. So what constitutes profanity? The Supreme Court debated the issue today and what to do when a celebrity utters an expletive on live television. The TV networks are at odds with the FCC. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The longer the battle over expletives lasts, the weaker the argument gets for the government, because now with cable television and so forth, there is so much non-broadcast profanity on television anyway that it becomes harder for the FCC to argue that it must be penalized in only a few cases.
I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Now, are we at the gas station? Ow!
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
I'm the wallet down here. Head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter can save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
Fat wallets are very in right now.
Ask for the Works Fuel Saver package at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer and get fuel-saving details at genuineservice.com.
You're a small business person, so you're the buyer, the seller, the bean counter, the chief cook, and the bottle washer. You know your best new business comes from your current customers. But what's the best way to reach them? ConstantContact.com, the easy, effective email marketing service. Constant Contact gives you professional online newsletters fast, without any technical skills. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial and plans as low as $15 a month. ConstantContact.com, the smart way to build your business.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
And a special edition of the Peter B. Collins Show today. Live from the left coast, it's me in San Francisco and Brad Friedman in Los Angeles. Say hello, Brad.
Live and in studio in L.A., Peter.
Beautiful. And in just 30 seconds or so, we're going to connect with KPHX in Phoenix, the flagship radio station for Nova M Network. And Dr. Mike Newcomb is going to join us for our special Election Day coverage. And boy, do we have a great lineup of people to talk with this afternoon and this evening, Brad.
A historic show, networking in with the folks at NovaMRadio.com all night long. We're going to have the Ohio Secretary of State coming up, the Missouri Secretary of State coming up. We've got election integrity folks on the ground all over the country. Suffice to say, I'm going to be here till midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern time, all night long with a huge marathon broadcast.
And Dr. Mike Newcomb joins us now from Phoenix. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Peter B., how you doing, buddy?
We're doing great, and it's nice to talk with you again. And I want to give a shout-out to Mike Newcomb, who had a program on our station, KRXA, in Monterey for several years, and he's back on the air in Phoenix. Good to know that, Mike.
Well, it's good to be back, Peter. Just took a little time off to do the doctoring that I do. There was a lot of suffering out there in the communities and had to do what I had to do. But it's great to be back tonight. And look, our fans here on the Nova M Radio Network are happy to have you along tonight, as well as Brad Friedman. And just to give the listeners an idea of what we're going to be doing throughout the evening, we're going to be talking with Peter B. Collins, also with Brad Friedman in Los Angeles. And Brad, are you with us?
I am here. And as I was saying before you guys joined, huge show ahead. Secretaries of State. We're going to cover the elections for good, for bad, the meltdowns from coast to coast, including late night tonight. We're going up to Alaska to Palin headquarters.
Ooh, my.
So we've got an enormous show for you across the Peter B. Collins Show, the Mike Malloy Show, the Dr. Mike Show, and the entire Nova M Radio Network all night long.
Awesome, awesome. Now, Brad, let me ask you this. I know you had Congressman Sam Farr, I believe, who was supposed to be on the line from Carmel. Is he in the studio yet, and is he ready for the interview?
We have Congressman Farr right now. Sam, how are you today?
I'm very well, Peter, and I'm glad you're having the Secretary of State on here, because I'm so proud of California. The most voters, the most complications, most languages, and we don't have any long lines. We have probably in our county, Monterey County, half the people have already voted by mail. I don't know why the rest of the states can't handle election. There shouldn't be any waiting for anybody.
And Sam Farr, aren't we projecting almost an 80% turnout of registered voters in California today?
Well, it's unbelievable. unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. This is a happening. This is a historical revolution. This is a political revolution going on in America. I think the people are so outraged they want to participate and they want to take back their government, and they're going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, Sam, what kind of level of confidence do you have in the election process itself today? Because I'm glad that there aren't long lines in California, but we know in Georgia and Florida the lines are incredible, and while we hear that people are being patient, we know that that means many people can't vote just because their work schedules and other commitments don't permit. And we know that, people like actor Tim Robbins went to the polls in New York today and found out that their names were not on the list, and that's being replicated in precinct after precinct across the country.
Well, I think we ought to give the voters a criminal can file against the government that screw up on this process, either make him to wait or screw up registration polls. It's absolutely outrageous that the country that brags about being a participatory democracy can't seem to make it work on election day.
Now, that's a great idea to criminalize the shortcomings. Would you carry legislation to that effect, Sam Farr?
Well, I'm certainly squeak about it. I'm just outraged watching it on TV and listening to it on radio that people have to wait in line. I've never in my life ever had to wait in line to vote. And, I like to vote by mail because in California they don't ask any questions. Anybody can just say they want to vote by mail. In rural areas, that's the only way you can vote because it's too hard to find people to set up precincts in rural areas. So the rural part of California, the only way to vote is by mail. And I just think that's the way to do it.
Sorry, Peter. Congressman Farr, this is Dr. Mike here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the flagship station, 1190 Nova M Radio. Question for you. Peter brings up a good point. Any thought given to perhaps creating a national voting holiday? Why not make President's Day, move it up, and make it a national paid holiday where citizens then can participate in the electoral process? I mean, the Democrats have a very good chance of getting control of both the House and the Senate. What do you think about an idea like that?
Well, I like the idea. I think actually we ought to do it a whole weekend. You won't step on anybody's Sabbath because you can do it both the Saturday Sabbath and the Sunday Sabbath. So I think we ought to make it a start Friday night and end up with announcing the results Sunday night.
And Congressman Brad Friedman down here in Los Angeles, if I can throw in a quick question. You had mentioned the mail-in ballots. You seem to be a supporter of that. I've spoken with Secretary of State Deborah Bowen. I know she's a supporter of that. I have serious concerns about those, about going to all vote-by-mail, including vote-buying and selling and the loss of transparency that comes in with a vote-by-mail system. Do you have concerns about that before we move to such a system, given that we've already leapt to these voting machines, had so many problems? You're aware of the concerns about vote by mail.
Well, you know, Oregon's been doing it for several years, and I don't know that they've any of those occurrences have occurred. When I was in the Board of Supervisors, the way voting process is set up, the procedure for voting, the federal government sets up the qualifications to be a voter, but the carrying out the act of setting up registration drives and all that is the function of the states. And in California, with 58 counties, you have 58 different boards of supervisors deciding what kind of voting machines they want to have. In this case, the Secretary of State has sort of taken a lot of options off the table because she would not allow voting machines, she wouldn't certify them for being safe without a sufficient backup. So many of the counties have just gone to paper ballots, and I found on the Board of Supervisors that vote by mail, first of all, you have to sign the outside of your envelope, and before the person opens that envelope, they have to match that signature with the signature they have on file. That's all done electronically.
And that's one of my concerns.
They tell me it's safer to vote by mail than it is in person because they don't require that matching of the signature when you go to a precinct to vote.
Well, and that's what one of the things I'm concerned about. Down in Florida, they're doing exactly that, and they're rejecting ballots in some places at an alarming rate because the computer matching system doesn't match up with someone's handwriting. My right arm right now is in a splint, frankly, and I'm worried about my signature matching and about the privacy lost in that.
Well, that's
case.
A good question. What they've done here is, if there is not a match, they set it aside and then they call the voter and say, "Did you vote?" And You know, they have ways of verifying that, yes, I voted, I sent it in such and such a day, and those are then sort of held as provisional ballots. And if they verify that they voted, then they put it in the count pile. If they can't, then they put it in the provisional pile. I mean, we don't emphasize enough that anybody can go to the polls and provisionally vote. The question of whether they count that vote is dependent on whether they're a legitimate qualified voter. And, you know, I tell people, even if you haven't registered, go down on Election Day and ask for a provisional ballot because you have, in many cases, same-day registration.
Congressman Farr, one other quick question before we wrap up here for this segment here. Diebold, I mean, there's been a lot of controversy about Diebold and then using their electronic software, their private source code. Any thought being given to, you know, not allowing private companies and outsourcing our elections to private companies? Isn't that something that the government in a bipartisan fashion can create electronic voting machines and use a code that everyone can agree upon?
Well, again, if we had a national voting process, we could do that, but it's really up to the states. And I think that a good example, again, is California. And I use that when I've lived here and I know about it. But I think people have to ask, why can't these other states do the things that California does? We have the most, by just the sheer population size and geography and access to the polls, we've got more problems than any other state in the union. And if we can run a very smooth election in this state, why can't everybody? And in this case, they have not certified or Diebold or others. I'm not sure which. We don't vote by electronic machines here. We vote on a paper ballot.
Well, on using electronic machines to count those paper ballots, and that's and those use proprietary software as well. So that's, I think, the concern that Dr. Mike was referring to there.
Well, we ought to have that fully transparent, and we ought to have a citizens review committee to look, you know, be available to monitor on election night.
Sam Farr, thank you for joining us today on our Election Day special here. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much. Good
Democrat luck. Sam Farr from the Central Coast of California. I'm Peter B. Collins in San Francisco. That's Brad Friedman in Los Angeles and Dr. Mike Newcomb in Phoenix.
Okay, and we'll be back after this short commercial break. We're live from the NOVEM Radio flagship, and if you want to give us a call, 1-800-989-1480.
We'll take a break and return here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in here, too, toll-free, our regular number, 888-5-PETER-B, and we'll try to squeeze you in on our Election Day special program. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell, putting the service back in service stations.
I'm Todd Hornick, your local candidate for Monterey County Judge. When you cast your ballot, I'd like you to consider the following. I am the only candidate who has actually worked in the Monterey County Courts, and I have devoted the last 14 years of my professional career to the service of this community. I have earned near universal law enforcement support, from firefighters to court clerks to the Herald, Californian, and Weekly endorsements, all of which are firmly based on my local experience and knowledge. I promise to earn your respect every day as your newest Superior Court judge and humbly ask for your vote. ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo trustee on November 4th.
I'm Soquel resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, Soquel, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a Soquel Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
And also Brad Freeman in Los Angeles. And we do have a special guest on the line right now. It is Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner from Ohio. Welcome.
Just about got her here.
Okay, yeah.
Secretary, we've got her here. Secretary of State, we can call you Judge Bruner, right?
That's just fine, or Jennifer's fine, too.
Well, it's Peter B. Collins here in San Francisco, Brad Friedman in Los Angeles, and Dr. Mike Newcomb in Phoenix. Brad, you want to start off?
I do indeed. Welcome to the show, Secretary Bruner, and I'm delighted to say that I have yet to see reports of meltdowns across the state of Ohio this time around, unless I'm missing something. How's it going out there today in the Buckeye State, and is it looking better than it was 4 years ago out there?
I think that people see a marked difference from 2004. Interestingly enough, one of the attorneys in my office has been here since the mid-90s, and she said this is the smoothest presidential election she has ever experienced in Ohio, and she's been through quite a few. So we still have a little over an hour before the polls close, but our planning, we think, has paid off in terms of the poll worker training materials, the backup paper ballots, our directive on two lines, and we're getting unsolicited calls and emails from voters who are saying they had a good experience, and that means a lot.
That's good news, and I know that you had instituted paper ballots for all in Ohio, anybody who wanted them, and had put out a directive to create two separate lines in counties where they had touchscreen voting machines. Is that working out, or have you heard instances of paper ballots that are running out, and have you heard about in the counties, are people preferring the paper ballot lines, the paper versus plastic lines?
In a number of counties, the paper ballots have been very popular. We know in Butler County, where they experienced and we were first alerted to the problems with the Premier voting systems uploading glitches, that paper ballots have been very, very popular. In fact, they had ordered 40% of the number of votes in the presidential election, and they were looking at the potential of getting in a last-minute order to increase that number. So we're very happy that voters are taking advantage of it, and we're happy for the option that any voter has who wants a paper ballot to get a paper ballot.
Excellent. Secretary of State Bruner, this is Dr. Newcomb from Phoenix, Arizona. A question I have for you is, during the last election cycle in 2004, there were some reports coming out of Ohio that waiting lines, the waiting in lines for 13 hours was heard of. I mean, is that happening now? And if not, what steps did you take to circumvent such a disaster?
The report so far of the longest line has been an hour. We don't know now here with the push here at the closing of the polls if that will be any longer, but the law has changed so that anyone can vote absentee without a reason. So we've had quite a few early voters who now, of course, are not at the polls on election day. But we were able to look at the experience at Kenyon College in Knox County, where those students waited at least, some of them, at least 10 hours to vote.
Until 4 a.m. they waited.
Yes, and we looked at the fact that this was too few voting machines with a glut of new voters, and it takes a certain amount of time to vote, no matter what, on an electronic voting machine. And so we said, this is just pure supply and demand. So we, of course, we would have liked to have seen the entire state on paper ballots, but the legislature was not willing to provide the money to make that conversion. So we started with using backup paper ballots in the primary for people on the boards to get used to it, and then instituted it on a more wholesale basis with more mandatory notification in the general, and we think that's been a big saving grace for Ohio.
Secretary Bruner, Peter B. here. Later today on our program, we're going to talk with investigative journalist Greg Palast. Relating to the state of Colorado, where you and I spoke during the Democratic convention, Palast projected that as many as 20% of voters would be purged from the rolls. Now, we have an anecdote that actor Tim Robbins went to his polling place in Chelsea in New York City this morning, and despite having checked his registration and voted in the primary, his name wasn't on the rolls. He went to court, he got authorized, and he did vote. Are you having any significant problems with people who show up at the polls and are surprised that their names aren't on the list?
No, we're not. We had one report from one precinct in Franklin County where there seemed to be a larger than expected number of voters whose names were not on the rolls who voted provisionally. But overall, as you may be aware, we had quite a fight from the Ohio Republican Party to try to get this targeted data of what they call mismatches from the statewide voter database, where driver's license or last four digits of Social Security numbers didn't match when these database comparisons were done. We fought it because we inherited a very flawed system from the Blackwell administration, and we knew that it would capture a lot of innocent people who shouldn't be included in that. And while I've taken heavy criticism and a lot of slings and arrows from the Republican Party that I'm trying to, quote-unquote, hide voter fraud, I think we've been able to successfully protect our voters from something that I think HAVA never meant to happen, that is the Help America Vote Act, with the creation of these databases.
And we've got to get out to a hard break here, Madam Secretary. I want to thank you for your time on a rather busy day. Very quickly, when it comes to these ballots, provisional ballots, is the onus on the election officials now in Ohio to show the person doesn't exist, or is that on the voters to have to prove that they exist? And we've got about 10 seconds here.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to go to a break right now. We're broadcasting live from 1190 Nova M, the flagship station. Our special election night coverage will return in a minute.
Thank you.
And Secretary of State, stay with us here. After Phoenix fades out here, we have another minute, and perhaps you could go ahead and answer Brad's question.
With the provisional ballot, we have very specific and detailed guidelines that were provided to all of the 45,000 poll workers in Ohio. Unfortunately, the laws are complicated in Ohio, and they intertwine with the voter ID requirements. So the most important thing we've emphasized to poll workers is make sure that you have the address of the person who's voting, so that they are, in fact, if they're going to vote a provisional ballot, they are, in fact, voting in the correct precinct. Mm-hmm. Because a provisional ballot voted in the incorrect precinct is not going to be counted based on federal court decisions. So we've been trying to emphasize that, and then making sure that the poll workers use the street guides, direct the voter to the correct precinct, and then at that precinct they can vote provisionally.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Ohio's validation rate in the primary was 80% on the provisional ballots.
Yeah, and that was in 06. It improved dramatically there.
Thank
you very much, Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner from Ohio.
Thanks for having me.
Great to talk with you.
You too. Thank you.
And Brad Freeman, stay with us. We'll rejoin with Phoenix in a few minutes here. And coming up, Ari Melber from The Nation will join us here on our Election Day special.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Even though the present Democratic-controlled Congress is held in minimum high regard by the American public, approval rating of Congress is even lower than President Bush's, the same election polls that give Barack Obama such a commanding lead suggest that his coattails may be long enough to produce an even stronger majority for the Democrats in both houses than they have now. Oddly enough, although the public holds Congress in such low esteem, incumbency is a great advantage in these House and Senate races. Voters know them, recognize their names and faces, and like them a lot better than they do Congress as a whole. Is it true, as many people seem to think, based on televised hearings if nothing else, the Congress is made up mostly of blowhard politicians who don't even try to keep their campaign promises? At the risk of being caught saying something good about Congress, the answer is no. At least that's what one study indicates. We'll tell you about it after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I give my wife gold because I know that it makes her feel special.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry customer Larry Yone, talks about why only gold is treasured.
I can tell her that I love her, but when I give her that little box and she opens it up, actions speak louder than words.
From classic to contemporary, only Jared offers five times the selection of truly distinctive gold jewelry, with prices from under $50 to over $1,000.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com. Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
In a report on the website Live Science, senior writer Andrea Thompson cites a study done by political scientist Tracy Sulkin at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, who compared the policy issues raised in the TV campaign ads of congressmen and senators to their legislative records, whether they followed through by sponsoring any legislation. The ads came from the campaigns of 391 winning candidates for the House and 84 for the Senate in 1998, 2000, and 2002. What she wanted to find out was whether these people, once they were elected, made any effort to keep the promises in the ads. And sure enough, the analysis showed that if candidates talked about an issue in their ads, they were very likely to introduce or sponsor legislation on that subject. The same Mark Twain, who once called Congress America's only native criminal class, also wrote as a music critic that the music of Wagner is not as bad as it sounds. Perhaps Congress may not be as bad as they seem on TV, when bloviation comes upon them, when the cameras are on them. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm 50 seconds.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's an Election Day special here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm in my usual seat here near San Francisco. Brad Friedman's in a studio in North Hollywood, California. Hey, Brad.
10 seconds, music.
And we are ready to reconnect in a moment or two here with our affiliate in Phoenix, KPHX. That's the flagship of Nova M Radio. And, Brad, we've got some excellent things going on here. We're looking right now for Ari Melber of The Nation. He's in Chicago, where Grant Park will be the scene of a huge Obama celebration, hopefully a victory rally tonight.
Okay, welcome back to our special election night coverage. We're broadcasting live from Phoenix, Arizona, the flagship station of Nova M Radio. And in just a few seconds, we're going to be joining our special correspondents, Peter B. Collins out in Monterey, California, as well as Brad Friedman from our host, Brad Friedman, who is actually located in Los Angeles, California right now. Many of you know him from Brad Blog. The results are not yet in, but there are some polls that have actually closed in Indiana and parts of Kentucky right now, but we do not yet have any official results. Some other major poll closings will be occurring at about 7 o'clock Eastern time. Right now, we are here at 4:34 Arizona time, so let's rejoin our colleagues Peter B. Collins and Brad Friedman. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. I think Peter B. is going to be with us momentarily.
I'm here.
There we go. Okay.
We just don't have Ari Melber yet.
That's okay. Well, when Ari Melber joins us from The Nation, we'll pick up with him. I wanted to mention, Dr. Mike had mentioned the poll closings. We will be, of course, covering results here when polls do close, at least the reported results. We like to think that results should actually be counted in full before we get too excited about them, but we'll let you know what CNN and those guys report at the top of the upcoming hour. In fact, Indiana will close in full. They close on the eastern side of the state right now, but the entire state will be closed at the top of the hour, as well as some real important states here, Georgia, Virginia, and we've had voting machine problems there all day long. Vermont, Kentucky, they'll all be closing at the top of the hour. South Carolina, some have said that as Virginia goes, so goes this election here tonight.
Well, Virginia is for lovers. That's what they say. It's a state for lovers. So
now, I
got to
ask you,
that way?
Brad Friedman, a question. You just reeled off a great deal of information there. And I used to live in Ohio. That's where I grew up, right next to Indiana. And I didn't know that Indiana's polls close half on the half hour and the other half at the top of the hour. That's bizarre.
Yeah, in fact, in Ohio, we see some of that as well. We saw that in Florida down there. You remember this was the big thing that Fox News was all furious about in 2000, that they had called the race for Al Gore before folks had gotten to vote in the western part of the state up there in the Panhandle in Tallahassee. Of course, that didn't stop Fox News from calling the race in 2004 before all the polls had closed in places like Knox County Kenyon College, where the last vote as Secretary of State Bruner told us in the last segment, wasn't cast until 4 a.m. And by the way, one of those folks, one of the students out there at Knox College, Kenyon College, who voted at 4 a.m., Matt Siegel, he'll be joining us in at the top of the next hour.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, Peter B. and Brad, we do have some callers who want to participate. So let's go to Kirk on the line. He's from the North Valley right now. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Well, sir, has been a long time, and we've been working pretty hard while you've been gone, buddy. How you doing?
It's good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. What do you think, Kirk, about this historic election that's now taken place?
Well, I can tell you what my place has been in it. I've been campaigning for the last 8.5 years, very vigorously supporting the local talk radio affiliate for the last 3.5 to 4 years, I believe, through advertising dollars. And I have been campaigning at every stop, I'm the only service company out there with bumper stickers on the back of the truck that create death threats from people that listen to too much Hannity. So I can tell you what I think.
Well, let me ask you this. Peter B., you do a local show in Monterey, California, and Kirk's talking about the benefit of being involved locally in your community. Tell us a little bit, Peter B., about what's happening out there in Monterey, the progressive community, and what you've seen in this historic election.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not actually in Monterey, Mike. I'm in the San Francisco area. My show's heard in Monterey, San Francisco, Eureka, Coos Bay, and some other cities. And here in California, really, the big issues are on the ballot, the initiatives. And I know that you share this in Arizona. You have a gay marriage ban, a same-sex marriage ban, on the ballot again. And Arizona was one of the historic states to actually reject such a measure. In California, it passed previously, but it wasn't a constitutional amendment. That was taken to the state Supreme Court, where same-sex marriage was found to be a civil right. And so now the Christian right and the collusion of the religious organizations is really abominable, in my view. They were preaching from the pulpit this Sunday, urging churchgoers to vote for Proposition 8. And it's going to be very close here. It's the support for it has grown in the final weeks. And $70 million has been spent promoting what I consider to be an effort to deny people an essential civil right.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Peter, because in the last election cycle, we had that proposition here in Arizona, and believe it or not, this being what's considered historically a red state, I believe this was the only state in America that actually sent that proposition down in defeat.
Yes.
And it looks as though this time around it's going to be another tight race, but they're trying to actually create a constitutional amendment here in Arizona to make marriage only between a man and a woman, and I think it's going to be pretty close, but Arizona might come to the table again, so we'll have to see. Brad, what do you see out there in the blogosphere regarding this issue about gay marriage?
Well, obviously in the progressive blogosphere, there's been a big move against Proposition 8, and I mean, you know, we've known for a long time. It's little more, frankly, than a hoax to get folks into the polls, and while I've got the mic here, let me just give you a couple of quick news updates if I could.
Sure.
Coming out of Virginia, the exit polls now show that, according to Huffington Post, Obama will win the state of Virginia. Now, I don't want to get anyone too excited about this. As I say, until the hard numbers come in on the results, you should know that you can count on nothing. But I do want to get the word out that we have a report that the exit polls show Obama winning. That's important because certainly in back in 2004, we saw reports in Ohio and elsewhere that John Kerry should have won, and yet things changed. So the good news, if it stays the good news, is that the exit polls show Obama winning in Virginia. And in Indiana, a judge has determined that GOP poll watchers violated a court order on these foreclosure lists that they were using to try to keep people from voting and caging them. Real quickly, the judge ruled that Republican poll watchers violated the court order regarding the correct process for challenging voters on Election Day. According to the NAACP, Republicans in Marion County were ordered not to use lists of voters who had been foreclosed on, and yet the Republicans were doing that. Go figure. I don't know what they must be thinking. Maybe they don't want people to vote or something down there in Indiana.
All right, joining us now is Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation and also has been filing stories almost daily at WashingtonIndependent.com. Ari, welcome to our program, and you got a triple header here. It's Peter B., and we've got Brad Friedman in Los Angeles, and Dr. Mike Newcomb in Phoenix.
Sounds good.
And you are in Chicago, where we're gearing up for a big rally in Grant Park tonight.
Yeah, I'm at Grant Park here with a lot of media figures looking at each other, not knowing anything more than anyone else in the world.
So it's like being at the convention where reporters had to interview reporters.
Well, I think that's sort of what you and I are doing right now, not to get too meta on you.
Yeah, right. So what's the feeling there in Chicago? You know, I learned a lot about politics. I went to Northwestern. I worked in radio there in Chicago when the original Boss Daley was still running the machine, and they knew how to deliver an election.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have obviously a ground game that has been widely discussed and credited. I will tell you I was in the field office. I went to headquarters last night, but then went to the Illinois field office today. where they had a huge number of people making targeted calls into Indiana, where Obama visited today, into Ohio. So they were literally hour by hour working to target different areas with, of course, their overflow capacity, not only Obama's hometown, but a state that obviously goes for Democrats regularly.
Interesting. Ari, this is Dr. Mike from Phoenix, Arizona. Let me ask you this question, Ari, because right now what we're seeing is something very historic. We're seeing what at least I feel is the repudiation of conservatism as it has been practiced over the last decade or two decades, and you being with The Nation, a very progressive magazine. Tell us what your thoughts on are. To borrow a term from Dick Cheney, is conservatism in its last throes?
I think there's clearly a gigantic shift, and you see it most clearly in what Republicans are saying. I mean, here we have John McCain positioning himself over the last several weeks as an economic populist, and in some commercials talking about changing the policies of the Bush administration. Here we have John McCain's advisors saying that he would look at reining in CEO pay and having the government regulate what companies can compensate their employees and their management depending on their conduct, on basically the moral boundaries that we the people set through the government and our laws. That is a very progressive thing we haven't seen in decades in terms of financial regulation, and you have John McCain talking about it. Now, we can discuss whether he was sincere, but the fact that even the Republican nominee was moving that much says a lot about where conservatism is in America.
All right, Brad, I believe you're up next, buddy.
Speaking of conservatism in America, you know, are we at the end of this paradigm, this phony right-left, red-blue, conservative, liberal? You know, I can't remember. The Washington Independent had written about me yesterday in my fight that I'm in with the Obama attorneys and the DNC about their lack of action on voting machines, and they called me a liberal blogger. That's a phony paradigm. Do you think we're moving beyond it with this election? Or are we going to see that, Ari Melber, for years to come still in the media particularly?
Well, old habits die hard. Language is how we communicate, and we only have so many words we're used to using in politics. I think Barack Obama has actually broadened that debate in some very important ways. But on economic policy, foreign policy, and a host of social issues, we can expect at least those people who help control our public discourse to continue to use the terms. So I'm not overly optimistic that we can upend this all overnight. Change is hard even after you win elections. And some of these things are pretty hardwired. But I do think if Barack Obama wins over some of these key states that went for George W. Bush by 8, 10, and a dozen points, then clearly there's a message that, especially with voters under 40, he has shifted the paradigm, and he will be in communication with the nation about how he wants to use this governing majority and this unusual coalition of new voters, young voters, more African-American turnout, more Latino turnout, and it appears in some states higher turnout among poor people who don't vote as much. So he will be able to help shift the terms of debate, but I think it will be slower than some expect.
Ari Melber from The Nation, you cover the Netroots too, and this was an amazing internet-based campaign, $600 million raised. And did they get to spend it all quickly?
I believe they did. I mean, you saw a lot of money going into those final national ads, and on broadcast you saw a lot of money on the internet, and they were sending out these targeted text messages around the country. I got several today, and I'm only registered as a New Yorker. You got more and different ones if you were micro-targeted for a swing state, and all those texts, all those extra things they were doing that are dynamic cost a lot of money. So I think they spent a lot. I don't know whether they ran to the end of the bank account. They don't show me the statement.
All right, Ari Melber for The Nation. Have a great celebration in Chicago tonight, and thanks for joining us on our Election Day special.
Thank you, and thanks to your listeners.
You can also read Ari's work at WashingtonIndependent.com. This is our Election Day special from San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Phoenix, and we'll continue after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show and the Nova M Radio Network. Chad Friedman. We've got about a minute here before we go to our break. And coming up here shortly, Steve Freeman will join us. We're also going to talk to Matt Siegel. And next hour, the Secretary of State of a very important and tightly contested race, Missouri, will be joining us.
And a lot of exit poll data now coming in. Obama in the exit polls wins in all kinds of states. We'll cover that when we come back from this break.
All right. And you can share this information with friends. Email them and tell them to log on to NovaMRadio.com. Or there's a link to the live stream at my homepage at PeterBCollins.com. This program's produced by Katrina Rill, by Desi Doyen, and our man Nick Tanum is here at the studio today keeping things on track. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm David Burnett, and I'm running for the Marina City Council. For too long, our council has failed to listen and act on the concerns, ideas, and needs of our citizens, while at the same time very carefully listening to and serving the demands of out-of-town developers. Even when citizens just like you ask the council to take more time to discuss the pros and cons on issues, such as the recent $106 million giveaway to the Dunes developers, the council failed to do so and instead rushed the deal through. I'm concerned that our budget is not balanced, that our citizens are locked out of affordable housing, that the current council has not grown our local economy by creating local well-paying jobs and supporting our downtown businesses. I support responsible growth that sustains our community and our local values. As your council member, I will make sure your ideas and concerns are welcomed, listened to, and respected. I would be honored to have your vote for David Burnett on November 4th. I'm David Burnett, and I approve this message.
Hi, this is Mike Weaver with the Vote Non Measure Z Committee. The Transportation Agency of Monterey County, known as TAMC, has proposed another faulty plan for this Tuesday's ballot, known as Measure Z. Part of their plan is a 25-year county and citywide sales tax increase. The other part of their plan, they say, is to raise $410 million over the next 25 years on brand new housing subdivisions and the like via developer impact fees. The problem is that the fees they propose only cover approximately 20% of the actual impacts to roads and streets. Guess who gets to pay the other 80%? What do we taxpayers get after this proposed 25 years of taxes? According to TAMC's own documents, the levels of service, that is road congestion, won't be any better, and in many cases even worse. Please join residents throughout Monterey County and vote no on Measure Z on Tuesday. Zap Z-Tax.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Here in Phoenix, Arizona, and also being joined by our colleagues, Peter B. Collins, up in San Francisco, as well as Brad Friedman in Los Angeles. And right now we have a special guest joining us. His name is Steve Freeman. So let's go to Brad Friedman in L.A.
Thank you, Dr. Mike. And I believe Peter B. is still with us down up there in San Francisco. We're going to go in a second to Steve Freeman, the independent exit pollster and a critic of the 2004 Media Consortium exit polls. He is running his own with the folks at Election Defense Alliance.
Ken Warren out of Missouri, running their own independent election poll exit poll tonight. Before we go to him, though, I want to give you some exit poll numbers from the media consortium that are just out now. Calling it for Florida in the exit polls, we know how those can change, but in it's going to Obama in the exit polls in Florida, Iowa, Missouri, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Indiana, New Mexico, Minnesota, Michigan. If these numbers hold up, and they likely won't, it looks like we could have a huge victory on our hands. Let's go to Steve Freeman now and find out how is the independent exit polling going, Steve Freeman, and does it match up with some of those numbers that I just read off from some of those states where it looks like Obama is going to win? According to the exit polls.
Well, honestly, you know more than I do. I mean, we do have some early numbers also showing Obama doing very well. But for your listeners, I'd like to explain that the purpose of our poll is quite different than the media exit poll. The media exit poll, part of their stated purpose is to project winners. Ours is really to confirm that the official numbers match up with how people said they're voting.
Actual so accuracy at the polls?
Excuse me?
Actual accuracy in the results? You actually measure, right, poll by poll in the places where you're polling, precinct by precinct.
We cover our polling places very thoroughly, and so we should match up very, very closely with those same official numbers in those polling places. Until we get those official numbers, though, our survey data doesn't mean very much. So we're really just determining that discrepancy. In 2004, there was a 7 percentage point discrepancy between how people said they voted in these confidential questionnaires and the official numbers in those same precincts. And that almost never was reported anywhere because the media exit poll, they immediately adjust their numbers so as to conform with the official count.
And so people understand there's nothing necessarily nefarious about that. They do, in fact, I think it's somewhat nefarious, but they actually...
I think it's somewhat nefarious, too, because they don't really state what they're doing. It gives almost a false sense of legitimacy. I mean, they just come out there with numbers and...
They presume the results
matches up.
Right. They presume that the results are correct, so then they adjust their data to match those results to tell us what type of segments of the population voted and so forth, rather than using them as a check and balance against fraud.
Right.
Correct?
And they absolutely refuse to use them as a check and balance. And in fact, they're always kind of crafty about the way they say it. And they say our exit polls don't necessarily say there wasn't fraud. You just can't prove them for that purpose.
Armin, let me ask you a question. All right, this is Dr. Mike in Phoenix. I mean, look, we live in a vast country, and it's very difficult to get these numbers and figure out exactly what's happening. Tell our listeners, how do you actually get exit poll information? How do you get this data, and how do you know it's valid and getting it in such a real-time fashion?
Right. It's a good set of questions. Are you hearing me okay? Because I barely hear you.
Yeah, you're at the end of a daisy chain. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, okay. The question was, how do we know, how do we collect our data? How do we know it's valid? What we do is we're going in with the express purpose of confirming in our selected precincts and polling places, are those counts correct? So we massively poll those precincts. We approach every voter in many cases and get upwards of 60 to 70% of all the voters in that precinct. So if there's a disparity there of even 1 or 2 percentage points, it's a red flag that perhaps the official numbers are wrong. Furthermore, we have other checks to ensure that to try to determine whether or not the people who are not responding are somehow a different demographic segment than those who are responding by comparing overall registration rates in the,
all right, Ari,
in
we
the polling
that.
Place and by comparing the demographics of
Steve,
our respondents.
Steve, we got to stop here and run to a break. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, we're going to be back after the top of the hour. South Carolina, Georgia, Vermont, polls are closing.
That's Dr. Mike Newcomb in Phoenix. Brad Freeman and I continue. We've got an extra minute here. And Steve Freeman, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. Steve, anything else that you think our listeners should be watching for in terms of exit poll data that they see on television throughout the evening?
Well, it's interesting that they projected that. I just learned what the projections were from this conversation. I've been very involved with our polls all day, and I hadn't looked and noticed what the media exit poll had projected. But that is quite something. If they're calling those states, especially given the debacles and the debacles in 2000 and 2004, if they're calling them, that must indicate some degree of high level of confidence.
By huge margins, you know, Florida 52-44, Ohio 54-45.
Had indicated, but again, we hadn't compared them yet with the counts, and we don't want to do them yet. I mean, the one thing that we were going to caution people...
Real quick, Steve.
Yeah, the one thing we were going to caution people is to not necessarily believe the numbers that get projected.
We'll continue here on our Election Day special.
$100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Americans, pick the leader of the free world.
Voting for the first black president of the United States of America.
McCain, because I know where he's at, where he's going, what he's going to do for the country.
The word of the day, a great sense of moment.
It's historic. This is a historic time.
It's just such a historic election.
I think this is going to make history.
It's a historical day.
I want to be a part of history.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. It is 7 p.m. in the East, and the election polls are closed now in six states, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vermont, and Virginia. CBS News is estimating that when the votes are counted, Kentucky will go to John McCain, Vermont will go to Barack Obama, and Indiana, a key swing state with 11 electoral votes, is too close to estimate. For the candidates, this has been an atypical election day, campaigning just as hard as ever. John McCain went to Colorado.
I owe this country more than it will ever owe me. And I promise you, if I'm elected president, I will never let you down.
Indiana is supposed to be a red state.
I think we can win Indiana. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in Indiana.
Barack Obama says he expects the race to be tight as a tick in Indiana, and thus far it has been. We have CBS News team coverage now, starting with the Obama campaign. CBS's Steve Kathan is live with us now from Chicago. Steve?
Obama and wife Michelle voted at a school gym here, Harley. Then it was across the border into Indiana for that last-minute campaigning in the state he'd love to take from McCain. Now it all culminates here in Grant Park.
Buttons, buttons, Obama buttons.
It has the feel of an outdoor concert as tens of thousands are gathering. They hope to celebrate an Obama win.
I think it's just the enthusiasm and just the hope for change. Something different.
I'm Steve Kathan, live in Chicago. CBS's Steve Futterman is in Phoenix with the McCain campaign.
Well, Steve, the McCain faithful are gathering here at his election night headquarters at Phoenix's Biltmore Hotel. The big question tonight, is there a way McCain can pull off the upset? This supporter says it will be tough.
I think he is in an uphill battle, and I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be a landslide. That's the most optimistic I can be at this moment.
As for McCain, he squeezed in two final campaign appearances today, sounding optimistic to the end.
I feel the momentum. I feel it. And you feel it. And we're going to win this election.
Live at McCain Election Night headquarters in Phoenix, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
I'm Bob Fuss in Washington. Just 2 years after taking control of Congress, polls indicate Democrats will end this day with a much tighter grip. Republicans facing voter anger over the economy and President Bush are defending a dozen Senate seats, and says CBS News political director Steve Shigaris, in some surprising places.
Kentucky and Georgia and Mississippi, places where Republicans shouldn't have that much of a hard time getting reelected, are having trouble getting reelected.
Dozens of House races are expected to be close, too, almost all of them Republicans trying to hold on to their jobs. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
There have been reports today of voting irregularities and complaints of various sorts, but so far nothing that appears likely to derail or forestall a decision. Some say new voters, including millions comparatively a few breaths out of childhood, could make a huge difference in the election, or not.
This is my first one. I figured that we needed change, and the only way I was going to hear get my voice is to vote.
CBS News polling analyst Fred Backus.
So far, voters under the age of 30 make up about the same percentage as they did in the past general election. Early exit polls give the number at 17%, exactly the same percentage of the electorate that turned out in 2004.
Nearly two-thirds of voters on their way out of the booths say the most important issue by far is the economic situation. 9 out of 10 say the economy's in trouble. More than 8 in 10 are worried about the coming year. More on that coming up. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-1443. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information. For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call 1-800-400-1443. That's 1-800-400-1443. Call now. 1-800-400-1443.
It's the economy, stupid. An admonition.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful.
It is our Election Day special. We've linked up with Brad Friedman in Los Angeles and Dr. Mike Newcomb at KPHX in Phoenix, the flagship station of the Nova M radio network. And we're bringing you some pretty unique coverage of the election itself today, the problems and anomalies that have occurred. And we got a clean bill of health from Ohio last hour from Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner. And Brad, in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Missouri. That's the birth state of Brad Friedman.
That's right, although I'm from St. Louis, so we call it Missouri.
Uh-huh.
It's a, it's a rural city thing. We're going to check in with Secretary of State Robin Carnahan shortly. We do have some poll closings, however, around the country. A bunch of them have closed here at the top of the hour, Georgia, Virginia, Indiana, so forth.
All right. Well, let's reconnect with Dr. Mike Newcomb right about now. We should be able to get logged in there with Phoenix.
I think we're here now.
We're here, gentlemen.
Thank you. Phoenix rejoins us on the Nova M Radio Network. And by the way, we're going to be on all night at NovaMRadio.com. So stick with us. And we're also in the chat room at BradBlog.com, where we've got folks coming in from as far as Prague as of now. So jump on in and participate there. Wanted to hit these poll closings real quick. Currently, CNN is calling Kentucky for McCain, and they're calling Vermont for Obama. No real surprises there in either of those. We've got some other states that have closed. Frankly, I'm in no rush to get those results. Let's get them right before we get anything on the air, but I wanted to update you on what CNN, at least, is calling, and I suspect trends will be emerging soon once more states begin more results begin to come in from the states that have just closed.
And Brad and Dr. Mike, I think one of the important things to underscore for our listeners at this point is we're hearing some pretty phenomenal exit polling numbers, and this could be a strong indication of what voter preferences actually are. But we're going to have to wait and see what the official tallies are, particularly from critical battleground states, to make sure that the exit polls at least approximate the numbers that come from the official tallies. And Dr. Mike, if it works out that way, we've got ourselves a very historic landslide victory in the making for Barack Obama.
No question about it, Peter, and I think that's something that really does underscore this evening. I mean, we're looking at history in the making here. I mean, to see someone with Barack Obama's story, someone who was born poor, who was born into a biracial family, a father from Africa, a white mother from Kansas, a very conservative part of the country, ending up going to some of the top schools in the country, becoming a senator of the United States of America, now on the verge, on the cusp of becoming the first African-American president in the history of this country. Peter and Brad, I mean, that speaks so loudly to the greatness of this country, of what this country really is meant to be and what it is all about. And if these exit polls and these numbers continue to remain the same throughout the evening, I just can't emphasize, you know, what a dramatic moment this is for the history of America and for us as radio broadcasters to be here participating live and discussing this.
Of course, that remains still a big if. I remember right around this time in 2004, a lot of folks were getting excited about John Kerry winning in a lot of states based on the exit polls. And I'm reviewing these numbers here, Mike and Peter, and they're pretty extraordinary from the exit polls. And people do need to know about them in case things change when we hear those results. But we've got Florida 52-44 in favor of Obama. Missouri 52-48. We're going to talk to the Secretary of State there momentarily. North Carolina going to Obama 4 points here. Nevada going by 10 points to Obama. Pennsylvania by, I can't even do it, 15 points. Is some extraordinary numbers. Ohio by almost 9, all going one state after another in the exit polls to Barack Obama. Even Indiana here, 52% to 48%. New Mexico, 56 to 43. Obama by, 13 points in New Mexico. Some extraordinary numbers if they hold up in the final results.
Well, Peter, I just want to give out the phone number. Our lines are open, and we welcome listener participation. We'll slip you in between guests and our commentary here. The toll-free number today is 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. And, Dr. Mike, one of the things that I'd like to note, and I'm not being critical of Obama here, but he ran a magnificent campaign for president. It's really the first time he's had a contested election. When he ran for the U.S. Senate in Illinois, his Republican opponent bailed out when his wife went public with the sex club story, and then they parachuted in Alan Keyes for a token opponent. When he ran for the state Senate the first time, he was essentially unopposed. So I think it is all the more remarkable that a guy whose electoral history is not that significant has managed the biggest funded campaign in American history, $600 million. He took out the Clinton dynasty and appears to be prevailing over what's left of the Republican Party.
Well, Peter, I think that's an excellent point. But and also, when he was running for senator in Illinois, he did not have, as you say, perhaps a contested general election. But in the primary, I don't know if you remember this, but he went up against Blair Hall. Mm-hmm. And Blair Hall is a billionaire who had a very, very well-funded campaign. And it wasn't until the final weeks of that election, and then I believe there was some kind of scandal there regarding Blair Hall, but nonetheless, Obama pulled that out at the very last second, and then, as you said, he went up in a highly contested primary, Democratic primary, against some of the most notorious and celebrated people in the Democratic Party, not the least of which was Senator Hillary Clinton. And for him to show that depth of experience, I mean, look, guys, we remember what at the election when the Republicans were saying he was a community organizer. Remember when they were ridiculing Barack Obama for mm-hmm. being a community organizer? Well, guess what? This might be the reason that Senator Barack Obama is the next president, because of his organization on the ground and the kind of campaign that he actually conducted.
Yep, I agree. We're looking at more of these numbers now. More voters fear a McCain presidency. More voters are scared of a McCain win, 30% than excited by it, according to these exit polls. Only 38% feel that Sarah Palin is qualified to be vice president versus 67% for Biden. And let's see, 62% felt that the economy was the top issue. Iraq is only at 10% as far as the top issue. Terrorism only 9%. We do have Matt. Let me jump over to Matt Siegel of the Student Association for Voter Empowerment. He's out in, you're out in D.C. tonight, eh, Matt?
That's correct. Good evening, Brad.
Good evening, Brad. Sir. And welcome to Nova M special coverage along with Peter B. Collins. Matt, you voted at some time, or at least you were at the polls until something like 4 a.m. in the morning at Kenyon College in Knox County in Ohio. Are you getting similar reports of problems for student voters, and particularly in Virginia, the reports that are going on for student voters in Virginia? What can you update us on?
Sure. Well, thankfully, first off, the long lines have not been as bad as I anticipated. We've been eyeing all the swing states, and the longest reported line we've had has been about 3 or 4 hours, and that occurred in the morning at Penn State in Pennsylvania. However, the most surprising or shocking aspect of today has been the misinformation campaigns that have not been going around by deceptive flyer, but have now been translated to online technology. They're going around by text message and Facebook, telling voters that if you're standing in line or if you support Obama, you vote on Wednesday, and if you support McCain, you vote today. Now, the fact that this is being translated online not only creates the potential for numerous more people to receive such messages, but it also looks more official and creates more confusion because, you know, the text messages are coming from political parties and campaigns as well. And so voters aren't sure who actually are the people purporting this information, and we've seen a lot of young voters confused because of them.
And, Matt, have you seen any instances of young voters who registered and got purged? Because we've been very concerned. Tim Robbins, the actor, went to vote in New York, and he had a bad experience. He finally did get to vote after visiting a judge. But what are you seeing in terms of first-time voters and the purging issues?
Well, the big concern comes with residency, because college students live in dormitories, and oftentimes they only receive mail at their P.O. boxes. I know where I went to school and graduated at Kenyon College, we only received letters at our mailing at our P.O. box. So young voters and college voters are confused as to where they should register, with what address. And as such, some registered under their P.O. box, some registered under their dormitory addresses. And for those that registered under their P.O. boxes, they've been challenged. And we saw 50 young voters challenged today at Grinnell College in Iowa, which was published in the Des Moines Registrar this afternoon. And those voters were challenged because they registered under their school address, not their dormitory address. And that's because their dorms do not receive U.S. mail. or U.S. postage. And so all those voters were challenged and had to vote provisionally, and we won't know for a while as to whether or not those provisional ballots are counted. So there's some concerns with residency. And then when students move in between their sophomore and junior years from dorm to dorm and those minor changes of address, yes, that does create the potential for voter purging, and it also created the potential for voter caging, which happened in Montana, which Mr. Friedman so eloquently reported.
Matt Siegel from Student Association for Voter Empowerment, thank you, sir, for all you do. And it was the GOP who was challenging those voters in Iowa. Let's be clear. We're going
to
be back. Thank you, sir.
Tonight, Brad.
All right. Very good. We're going to be back with the Missouri Secretary of State. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show and NovaMRadio.com's special election night coverage with Dr. Mike Newcomb and the whole family. Stick with us.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Good afternoon and happy Election Day. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in Santa Cruz on Soquel Drive at Rio Del Mar Boulevard, there is a traffic collision with minor injuries. CHP is on the way. Also in Santa Cruz on East Ayanti Road, just north of Graham Hill Road, wires are down and they are in the roadway. CHP is on the scene there. Now for your weather forecast. Tonight is mostly clear, lows are in the mid-40s, north winds are 5 to 15 miles per hour with locally higher gusts. Here are some temperatures for this afternoon. Pacific Grove is currently 54 degrees. Monterey is 58. Salinas is 60 and clear. Santa Cruz is 52 and mostly cloudy. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a safe commute and please go vote. Stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tonight coverage. We got our phone lines packed right now. We got people from across the country waiting to weigh in with their thoughts from Eastport, Maine. We got someone in Worcester, Massachusetts. We got Levine, Arizona. We're going to get to your calls in a second. But joining us right now are Peter B. Collins and Brad Friedman from San Francisco and L.A. And we have a special guest on the line from Missouri, the Secretary of State from Missouri, the Show Me State. Brad, what do we got there?
Well, I want to welcome Secretary of State Robin Carnahan joins us, Secretary of State from my old home state of Missouri. Delighted you could join us in this most important state, Madam Secretary. Welcome to the Dr. Mike, Peter B., and Nova M. Special Election Night coverage.
How is it with you?
Delighted to have you here. How's it going? Before I tell you my parents, what they reported to me about their experience in St. Louis County today, how's it going across the state in Missouri? Do we have the kind of problems we've seen in previous years, or are things running smoothly?
So far, Brad, things are going pretty well, and I don't want to jinx anything because the polls aren't closed yet, but there have obviously been some reported problems, but nothing that seems systematically broken, and so we're pleased about that. I think election officials have had a long time to prepare for this election, and they've done a good job.
And while you deserve some praise, I think, for the things that are going well, let me hit you with the tough question. What's not going well? What are the worst problems that we're seeing around the state this time around?
Well, like in a lot of states, we're seeing long lines in some areas. And the good news is that a lot of people are participating, and many times there's sort of a festive atmosphere, and people understand that they have to be patient because this is a big year for voting. There were a couple of places in the Kansas City area that had problems with the wrong poll books early this morning, but those got resolved fairly quickly. And then we've really had some problematic areas with these misleading robocalls and text messages trying to tell folks that because of long lines, if you want to vote for Barack Obama, you should just wait until Wednesday to do that. So
what? His voting is today? Oh, man. Now I've... Secretary, before I pass it over to Peter B. here, I want to check. My parents voted in Chesterfield, very Republican area of St. Louis County. They said they were not asked for any ID at all. Both my mom and my dad, they were asked in the primary for photo ID. Are they supposed to ask for ID when they go to vote in areas like Chesterfield?
Well, the law in Missouri is the same no matter which part of the state you vote in, and that is that we have an ID requirement, but can be either a photo ID or some kind of a non-photo identification, including a voter card. So perhaps they presented one of those things. I don't know the details.
No, they didn't. They were not asked for anything. That's unusual, isn't it, that they were asked for nothing?
That does seem unusual because in Missouri, yeah, you do have to present some form of identification.
Secretary, this is Peter B. What we've seen with long lines, at least in previous elections, was that they were disproportionately in African-American communities and those likely to vote Democratic. Are you seeing the long lines spread around, and to be specific, are the white suburbs waiting in line as long as inner-city minorities?
I think we'll have a better sense of that later on when we get full information. Right now we get a lot of anecdotal reports, and clearly some of those anecdotal reports are from heavily African-American areas, but some are in suburban white predominant areas as well. So I don't think we can say anything across the board other than turnout has been high, and we think that's a great thing and are just encouraging everybody who hasn't gotten out yet that if you're in line by 7 o'clock in Missouri, you get to vote.
Secretary Carnahan, this is Dr. Mike Newcomb from Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the program tonight, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Happy to do that.
Hey, now, one of the things I want to ask you, Secretary Carnahan, is that Missouri historically has picked the winner in the presidential election. I think overwhelmingly in the last 10, 15 elections, Missouri always picks the winner.
Since 1904, we've gotten it right every year but one, and that was 1956 when we barely went for Adlai Stevenson, another senator from Illinois, over Dwight Eisenhower.
Exactly. So my point is, where do you see Missouri going tonight?
The polls polls have been very, very close here. I'm sure you all have seen that, and we're kind of the swingiest of all the swing states. And we'll see. I think it depends on the get-out-the-vote operations from the Obama campaign. Clearly, the candidates have all been here a lot in the last couple of weeks and put a real push on, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I will tell you that we've had a big increase in voter registrations in Missouri just in this year. Since the beginning of January, we've had 340,000 new voters, and about 45% of those have been young people under the age of 24.
Excellent. All right. Well, Secretary Carnahan, we got to go to a break right now. Thank you for your time, and best of luck in your
Thank you very
endeavor.
Much.
Okay. We're live from the NOVAM Radio Network here in Phoenix, Arizona. Back in a moment.
And that's Dr. Mike Newcomb over in Phoenix. Brad Friedman and I continue here on the left coast. And coming up shortly, Jason Leopold will join us. He's going to join Brad in the studio in Los Angeles. He has been hot on the trail of the Sarah Palin investigations, and that's one of the things we can talk about. And also, we've got Greg Pallast coming up to kick off the third hour of our election special today.
Who? Greg Pallast?
Greg Pallast, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be joining us a whole lot ahead, all night long, of course, here on for the next several hours on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'll be on NovaMradio.com all night long, so stay with us. And Jason is now in the house, so
all right.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. We will have more poll closings coming up. They have closed in a lot of states, but so far only Kentucky and Vermont have been called. McCain for Kentucky, and Vermont goes to Obama. But those exit polls, Peter, are stunning if they hold up, that we've these reports that we've seen.
Well, and we want the stun to stay, but we've got to be cautious here. And I haven't popped the cork on that bottle of champagne in my fridge yet.
You'd be wise not to.
We want to see that the announced results come close to the exit poll numbers that we're seeing.
Yeah, and they have not in the past, so let's not pop that cork yet.
We've got more straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
My fellow Americans, we survived. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody talks about the candidates and what they've been through, but what about us? I counted my mail. 52 pieces of political mail in the last 2 weeks. There's no room for the regular junk mail. I haven't seen my name in giant letters on a contest envelope in at least a month. And the phone calls. No wonder the economy's tanking. The mortgage brokers can't get through anymore. Then we had to figure out who was telling us the truth. The crazy people on Fox or the other crazy people on MSNBC. CNN tries to be objective, but that just makes it tougher to figure out their hidden agenda. And then, just when you think you know what's true, somebody mails you a link to a blog that proves Barack Obama was raised by a religious nut or toasted a terrorist or has a half aunt in Boston, and there goes your evening. Another 3 hours on PolitiFact.com. Or you're ready to settle down in bed, and the look on your partner's eyes is telling you this is your lucky night. But then your BlackBerry chimes with a link to a new Sarah Palin parody, and you have to drop everything. Ah, but today we hand the whole shebang over to the winner. For the winner, today is the best day of his life. Because until today, his goal was simple, to get one more electoral vote than the other guy. But starting tomorrow, it's back to reality, where the goals are no longer clear, campaign promises have to be paid for, and mistakes have consequences. While we get our mailboxes, our phones, and our TVs back until the bank repossesses them. Now this.
I'm Maria. I own Maria's Hair and Beauty Salon. Last year, I was neck deep in invoices and receipts, so my friend suggested Intuit QuickBooks. I'm usually not that good with computer software, but she said I could try it online for free. So I did, and QuickBooks is great. So easy to use. Saves me hours tracking expenses. Now I can spend more time convincing my customers not to get that new style that only looks good on supermodels and poodles.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working-class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
House and protect your investments.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our Election Day special here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman's with us from Los Angeles. And he stepped out of the studio to check on some breaking news. We'll get back with him in just a moment. I want to open up the phone lines here on the left coast. You're welcome to call in with your questions, your comments, your observations here on Election Day. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-7383-72. Joining us now on our Election Day special is Jason Leopold. He's the investigative reporter who publishes all too frequently at the Public Record, pubrecord.org. Jason's a regular on our show every Tuesday, so this is our regular time to chat. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Peter, you got me out of the house. This is strange. I'm around other people, and I'm not used to that. So
well, but
it's good to be with you.
But I'll bet if you
Brad and
I'll bet if you look in your bag, there's a spare diaper.
yeah. I'm not sure it'll fit me though.
Oh well, I understand that. So, Jason, what are your observations on this day? I mean, for one thing, for me, it's a relief that we're finally here. We're into this final phase of combat. We're going to find out if the exit polls that are very promising are matched by the official results when we see them posted after the polls close this evening.
Yeah, I think it's definitely has that feeling of a historic day. I mean, I could tell you that when I went to vote this morning, it certainly felt different than previous times that I voted, and I think that there's quite a bit of excitement in the air. I certainly noticed that with various people who are at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
I do think though that Republicans are gearing up to challenge some of the some of the results in various states. You know, I put out a story a couple hours ago that the Ohio Republican Party filed an amended lawsuit against Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner, basically with regard to the way provisional ballots will be counted, sort of what they refer to as a placeholder lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that the election will be close, that you know, they can challenge the integrity of some of those votes. And you know, there's actually something that I just got in my hands now, that the Republican National Committee is preparing for quote computerized voting fraud legal battle.
Hmm.
And
say that again. Computerized voter fraud, right?
Right, computerized voting fraud.
Okay.
So they're what they're claiming here is Forensicon. I've never heard of this company before, but it's a Chicago-based computer forensics company.
Mm-hmm.
That was contacted last Thursday by a security firm to assist the Republican National Committee with consulting related to potential allegations of computerized voting fraud. And it, you know, I really don't know what this means. I'm reading to you directly from a press release. So, mm-hmm. Here's something that's kind of interesting, though, in this release that sort of is forming the basis of their legal challenge. They noted that Oprah Winfrey attempted to cast her vote
right.
for her candidate, but the vote failed to register correctly. So they feel that there's more widespread issues of computerized voting fraud. But, of course, you know, affecting their candidates is Republican candidates, not Democrat candidates. I'd say they're 4 years too late on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, those are some of the things that I'm seeing today. I certainly have been paying attention to what's happening in Pennsylvania, Ohio, as I said.
And we talked to Secretary of State Brunner in Ohio about an hour and 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
She said there are no long lines, that she's not hearing any significant reports of snags or delays. And,
right.
You know, given what happened in many states with the early voting, that is promising.
Yeah. It's certainly, especially in Ohio, where they're expecting record turnout. In fact, I think it may have already reached that point, but it appears that it's you know, things are running smoothly, and but you know, there are widespread problems with you know, forget the lines, just you know, the integrity of some of these some of the votes. You know, in Michigan. Another story that I wrote earlier today, and I know that it's been reported somewhat by others, you know, the voting machines that are manufactured by Election Systems and Software, ES&S, Michigan, Oakland County Register of Deeds.
Near Detroit. Uh-huh.
Right. She had sent a letter October 24th to the Election Assistance Commission, saying that, you know, during the testing of some of these machines, the software just kept spitting out the wrong results, or the vote tallies came out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She's been waiting for a response and has yet to receive one. And they still had to use these machines, even though they were still rife with these problems. So, you know, my point being that despite the fact that it may in some places look to, or at least according to the pre-election polls, go in Obama's favor, you know, we still have election integrity issues. We still have problems with the way people vote, with ensuring that their, you know, their votes will be counted correctly.
Well, and maybe Tim Robbins is getting payback for being so outspoken a critic of the Bush administration. But you may have heard when he went to vote in the Chelsea section of New York City this morning, even though he had voted in the primary and I believe had rechecked his registration, when he showed up, the name Timothy Robbins was not on the voter rolls. And
right.
So he apparently had the time and had to go all the way downtown to the foot of Battery Street there to a courthouse where an instant hearing was held by a judge who looked him up on the computer and said, yes, Tim Robbins, you are registered, and authorized him to vote. But in order to do that, he had to go back to his precinct to cast that ballot. So the you know, level of obstacles that we're seeing are strong. And here's a report that came in by email from a 30-year-old voter in Washington Heights in New York. This morning I had to fill out a sealed envelope paper ballot when just a few days ago I went to the New York City Board of Elections office near Wall Street and I did confirm that I am registered in the system, and yet the polling place did not have my record. So what he called a sealed envelope paper ballot, that's a provisional ballot. And
Exactly, which won't necessarily be counted.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, those are usually the last to be counted and often tossed away. That's what we've seen. By the way, I don't know if you mentioned this, but I just got word that many of the networks now are projecting John McCain wins West Virginia.
Okay.
That's just coming out. But in terms of what's happening today, I think that certainly seeing record voter turnout, but also just the various voter suppression efforts with the robocalls. I think the Fox News stoking fears of racism by talking about how the Black Panther Party is intimidating McCain-Palin supporters. I don't know if you've heard that, but it's actually something prominently featured on John McCain's website. Today, with a link to on his campaign website. They've got this is really interesting. If you take a look at it, you'll see that they talk about the voter suppression efforts that are taking place across the country against McCain-Palin supporters. And one of the first items there is how the Black Panther Party has been intimidating McCain-Palin supporters. They have a link to Fox News. And this basically just stokes fears of racism. Not fears of racism, stokes, reinforces the, racist attitudes. It certainly is evident that, Republicans don't like to lose.
Is there an active chapter of the Black Panthers anywhere in the United States?
That was exactly, I have to tell you, that is the first thing that I asked. I've been watching this this television show on new show on ABC called Life on Mars, and it's a show where this guy wakes up in the 70s, and one of their most recent episodes was about the Black Panther Party. But that was 30 some odd years ago.
Right.
I had no idea that there was a Black Panther Party.
I'm not aware of any active members or units. Most of these were activists from the 60s who were older than I am, and they're toothless and retired.
It's Brad back in. I just wanted to mention I am an active member of the Black Panthers.
You are.
Just toss that in.
I'm just
saying.
I got to say, I kind of think that, power to the people, if that's Jane Fonda might be their president, but hey, I don't think there would really need to be a Black Panther Party anymore if Obama wins.
So, Brad, let me run down a couple of headlines here from John Gideon's Daily Voting News Digest and see what you care to comment on. In Florida, Palm Beach County, glitches abound, but election going smoothly. Palm Beach County precinct problems. Let's see, optical scanner failures are a widespread issue in Florida. Poll site sabotage foiled. Glitches leave thousands of unscanned ballots piling up in Florida.
Well, the good news is, even when these quote-unquote glitches, and they're not glitches, they're failures, even when they occur, when you have paper ballots, as they now do, thankfully, in the state of Florida, we can get them counted one way or another. But they had had problems in Palm Beach for the past a month or two because they had these new optical scan systems made by Sequoia that were not counting the same ballots the same way twice. So, we're bound to see problems like that. Bigger concern
concern is in places like Virginia where touchscreen machines completely broke down, which meant that voters couldn't vote. Same thing happened out there in Kentucky, and I was just back in real quickly. I was got some news. I don't know if you guys covered it yet, but they're calling Mark Warner the winner of the Virginia Senate seat. Mm-hmm. That could be a bellwether sign for the state of Virginia, which direction that may go.
Right.
And GOP's Mitch McConnell is up by two in the returns coming in out of Kentucky. That's a key race to look at, of course, because the Senate majority leader, minority leader now, mm-hmm. could be displaced. One other I want to toss in, Al Franken is up by 12 points.
12 points. Minnesota. Wow.
12 points.
That's a seems like a big surge there for him.
It sure does. It's still early, though. You know, caution, it depends when the various results come in from the various parts of the state.
Sure.
And, of course, we're keeping our eye also in Georgia on Republican Chambliss, Saxby Chambliss down there.
Yeah, that Minnesota is probably, you know, one precinct in Franken County.
Yes.
At this early stage, you shouldn't get too excited about partial numbers.
And to let folks know, by the way, we will be rejoining, I understand, Nova M Radio after the break coming up here, or hopefully we're working out the technical issues. And so a whole lot more ahead. Just wanted to give you that update, Peter.
Hey, right. Peter, also, you know, one of the it's a long shot, but one of the races that is being watched is in Vermont for Attorney General.
Hmm.
And that's Charlotte Dennett, who has said that if she is elected, she will appoint Vincent Bugliosi as a special prosecutor to go after Bush Cheney for war crimes. Obviously,
very interesting.
Long shot.
Murder.
For murder.
Murder.
Yes, excuse me.
Absolutely.
Brad Friedman and Jason Leopold in Los Angeles. I'm Peter B. Collins in San Francisco. You can join the conversation. Dial in toll free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. On northbound Highway 1, just south of 12th Street, we have a traffic hazard. Moving over to southbound 101, just north of Ralph Lane, there is some shredded tire in lane number 2, so watch out there. Now for some weather. Your forecast for tonight is mostly clear. Lows are in the mid-40s, north winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, with locally higher gusts. Wednesday will be partly cloudy. Highs will be in the 50s to upper 60s. Now for some temperatures. Big Sur is 58 degrees. Carmel Valley is 57 degrees. Salinas, 58 degrees. Santa Cruz is 60 degrees. And Gilroy is also 60 degrees. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Please make sure to go out and vote. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators, in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208. Or on the web at OptimalHealthMonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
One night, two games, two sports. What a Friday we have for you on KRXA 540 this week. High school football and CSUMB men's Otter basketball. All right here on KRXA 540, Friday, starting at 7 p.m.
Starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
I'm Peter B. Collins, and our Election Day special continues here with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's live from Los Angeles. And Jason Leopold is sitting next to him in the studio there. He, of course, is our colleague and contributor, and he publishes at Public Record. PubRecord.org is the official website. And, gentlemen, what do you want to talk about next, Brad?
Well, I want to let folks know who are listening. We will be back in sync, I'm told, at the top of the hour. We lost the ISDN signal to Nova M, so we're going to sync back up at the top of the clock.
We've got Greg Palast coming up at the top of next hour.
Yeah, thank you. Much more ahead with Greg Palast, and John Ennis will be with us from Video the Vote. Bob Petrakis from Ohio. Tons and tons of stuff ahead.
And I have a brother who is in Chicago with a cell phone at Grant Park, and if there's time, we'll check in with him.
Now, is Grant Park, if as I recall, isn't that the place where we saw the riots in 1968?
That's right. It's on the near north side, just north of the Loop.
And that's where they'll be having the victory party tonight, if there is a victory party for Barack Obama. Signs, of course, look good if you look at those exit polls, but we're not yet seeing a lot of results from those states that have closed down at the top of the hour. There's more poll closures coming up ahead. Maybe they're trying to get them right this time, Peter. Jason, wouldn't that be a nice change of pace?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news today in the New York Times that CBS, which has sort of been enjoying some, CBS News, which has sort of been enjoying some resurgence of its ratings, thanks to those Katie Couric interviews with Sarah Palin.
She's just trying to salvage her reputation. She'll be gone by the end of the year.
You know, the network said, though, that they do not want to be cautious in terms of calling the election. They actually... They want to be aggressive. It's a story by Jacques Steinberg in the New York Times, and it was interesting because they want to go out there and be aggressive and call the election and be one of the first ones out there. So I don't think that some of them. If you check out, try to get his story up here just to see what the exact quote is, but. There are a few out there that are not being as cautious. And as also, MSNBC made a couple of, not related to exit polls, but many errors today by telling people that the
poll closures.
Yeah. There still seems to be quite a bit of competition from the networks to keep up with the 24-hour or the real-time news on the internet.
Then allow me to be aggressive, just to give folks an update on what we're seeing coming in. We reported earlier that Huffington Post had some of the exit poll numbers showing Florida 52 over 44 over John McCain, and now with 10% of the precincts reporting, they're showing Obama 58 to 42.
Yeah.
With 10% precincts reporting, obviously that could change, but so far at least it seems to be syncing up fairly well with the exit poll numbers this time around, Peter.
Yeah. Let's talk to Emily Levy. She's with VelvetRevolution.us and a conspirator of Brad Friedman's. Hello, Emily.
That's quite a conspiracy theory you have there. Peter, hi. And hi, Brad. I'm calling to let you know about a situation in Philadelphia that Steve Rosenfeld has on Alternate and Danielle Ivory has at AmericanNewsProject.com, where voters in Philadelphia whose names are not on the poll books but are, according to the central Board of Elections office are registered to vote are being forced to vote provisional ballots. And it's not, it's apparently a decision that's been made by the Board of Elections, by our friend whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce right, never mind spell right.
The crazy woman who's running, a Democrat, by the way, who's running, a supposed Democrat. She's been there for something like 40 years, who's running those elections down there.
Marge,
so do they have enough?
The only, I think, is, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Marge. Is that, do they have enough paper ballots in Philadelphia where that's happening, where people are not showing up on the rolls?
I haven't heard yet that there's a problem with number of paper ballots, but a decision was made to insist that these voters vote provisional ballots because they aren't on the poll books. Now, that may be because the copies of the poll books at the polling places are old copies, and it may be because new registrations weren't, the entry of them into the computer system wasn't completed in time for the election. But whatever it is, provisional ballots are supposed to be when the voter isn't properly registered. And in this case, these voters are properly registered. It's clearly a problem of the counties, not the voters. And the voters are being punished by being forced to vote provisionally.
Mm. Well, and as you know, problems with these voter registrations.
Well, that's what's going on, as I was saying earlier. Yeah. In Ohio, they just filed an amended lawsuit today.
Oh, did they?
You know, the Ohio Republican Party filed an amended lawsuit based on the way the provisional ballots will be counted. They filed it against Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner. And they have taking issue with some of the directives that she put into place over the summer, which there is particularly the 30-day waiting period, which they're challenging, saying that that new voters,
yeah,
they're registering and getting a ballot immediately
at the same day,
at the same time. They're saying no.
Well, that went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Right.
They turned it
down.
Today,
they filed an amended complaint. It's basically, as I was telling Peter earlier, it's more or less like a placeholder lawsuit to try and challenge the integrity of the vote, if in fact it appears to be a close race.
And I hope what the result, every time the Republicans have gone to court this year, they've pretty much lost. They've pretty much gotten spanked. And this decision in Colorado recently, a similar one, was very useful because it said that if you want to, with these provisional ballots, if you don't want to count one of these, you have to prove, the election official has to prove that this is a fraudulent ballot, that the person is not registered to vote. It has shifted the onus onto the election officials instead of the voter to have to prove who they say they are.
Emily Levy, thanks for checking in with us today. Appreciate your work.
Thanks.
All right. And Brad
thank
Friedman,
you, Emily.
Jason Leopold, thank you, Jason, for joining us. Brad,
my
you
pleasure.
Stay with
thank
us.
You.
Coming up, we're going to reconnect with Phoenix, and Greg Palast will join us to kick off the next hour of our Election Day special here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving Internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time. It's all done online. And it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation. That's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It's 8 o'clock in the east. Polls are closing in 16 states, including some swing states like Florida and Pennsylvania. We have some numbers, some projections to give to you. CBS News is estimating that when the votes are counted, Barack Obama will have picked up New Hampshire, Illinois, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Connecticut. Also, John McCain will have added to his list Tennessee and Oklahoma. Key races in Indiana, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania have not yet been estimated. It is an historic election, of course, by any account. First black candidate for the White House. Excitement bubbles in Chicago, and it holds on at the McCain camp in Phoenix. Let's go live now to Barack Obama's headquarters, CBS's Steve.
Shaping up to be an outdoor party here at Chicago's Grant Park. Thousands on a beautiful evening streaming in, hoping this historic campaign finishes off with one more breakthrough moment. African-American voter Jack Lee expects a big night for all Americans.
Obama stands so much more than just, you know, just for something for the black people. It stands for so much more.
What's clear from the early arrivals, many, many young people are here.
This is Steve Futterman live at McCain headquarters in Phoenix. McCain supporters here are hopeful when estimates of McCain wins in West Virginia and Kentucky were flashed on the large video screen in front of the ballroom. There were loud cheers, but everyone here also knows the key states are still to come, states like Florida, Indiana, and Virginia. In the last hour, Sarah Palin arrived in Phoenix. She is on her way here now to take part in tonight's festivities.
I'm Peter King, live in Orlando. Florida polls have just closed, but there are still long lines, including one right here at the University of Central Florida. First-time voters like Kelsey Mulroy say the 3 or 4 hour wait was well worth it.
I'm going to be graduating in 2 years, and I want a job when I get out of college. I want to be able to provide health care for my family when I have a family, and I think it's an important election.
The elections officials say otherwise. It's been a mostly smooth day here in Florida. Live in Orlando, Peter King, CBS News.
So what matters to you on this election day 2008?
The economy is the main thing.
What's happening over in Iraq? The economy is very important, and I also think the war, things are going to change either way it goes.
Those people in Fargo, North Dakota, but they mirrored the concerns of most Americans, the economy at the top of the list of concerns. Leonie Huddy in the CBS polling unit.
A majority of voters pick the economy as the most important problem affecting their vote, and 93% say it is in bad shape. Over 8 in 10 are worried about their own family's financial future. And 76% think the country is off on the wrong track.
The turnout of the election may set some records. Young people were out in big numbers.
Very important election, especially for kids my generation.
CBS News exit polls also found young voters under the age of 30 represent about the same percentage that they did 4 years ago. Wall Street today, the Dow was up 305 points, NASDAQ up nearly 54. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your gas gauge.
Oh, my needle is asleep.
What's wrong, gas gauge?
For some reason, I haven't been moving.
Oh, well, that's probably because I got the Works Fuel Saver package at the dealership.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an oil change, tire rotation, and more, just $29.95 or less after a $10 mail-in rebate.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to stop for a sandwich. Do you want anything?
No, thanks. I'm full.
Oh, good one.
Taxes, diesel, and disposal fee extra. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for rebate details through 11-30-08.
When it comes to restaurants, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Bob's Google page with Yahoo and brought mariachis into his office.
What the?
Now Yahoo Search brings you even more info from sites you trust, like City Search and Sagat.
Try searching a restaurant on your city.
Whoa, those results have photos, ratings, phone numbers?
Even says live music.
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
One of the biggies at Bear Stearns has landed on his feet.
The former chief risk officer at Bear Stearns, the investment bank that nearly collapsed in March, has found a new job at the Federal Reserve Division that supervises banks. Michael Alex is now a senior VP at the Fed Bank of New York. Alex had a key role at Bear Stearns as it nearly fell into bankruptcy and as the Fed guided Bear's sale to J.P. Morgan Chase. Now his job is to help the Fed oversee the financial safety and soundness of banks.
CBS's John Hartshe in Washington. Some of the other stories in the news today. In Iraq, 200 people serving in the U.S. military became U.S. citizens, people from 60 different nations. Israeli troops fought today with militants in Gaza after finding a tunnel meant to allow terrorists to steal in, abduct Israeli soldiers, and take them back into Gaza. And a mother is going to prison for 15 years in California. She drove her son and a friend to a Long Beach skating park so they could kill a 13-year-old boy in a rival gang. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Referrals. Simple word, right? To a small business, referrals are solid gold. So how do you stir them up? Email marketing from ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get easy-to-use templates to showcase your business with photos and coupons. And best of all, it's easy for your customers to pass them along to others. In other words, help you generate the almighty referral. Plans as low as $15 a month. Get your free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com. And let the referrals begin.
Smart is, and smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs, and there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.36 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to gmacbank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
And free and fair elections in these United States. We continue our Election Day special. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, our go-to guy on election integrity issues. He's live from Los Angeles. And about 30 seconds from now, we'll reconnect with Dr. Mike Newcomb at KPHX in Phoenix. What's up next here, Brad?
Well, we're going to have, Greg Palast is going to be joining us momentarily. But we're going to follow up on that report we got from Emily Levy of VelvetRevolution.us about concerns in Philadelphia, folks not showing up on the poll books in Philadelphia, even though they are still registered. Danielle, I think we're going to go to her just as soon as we hook up with Nova M Radio momentarily. Do I have the schedule correct?
You are correct, and Mike Newcomb should be with us here in just a few seconds.
Peter, I'm here now. Oh, good. Dr. Mike is back. Welcome back. We are all back up in sync now. The Peter B. Collins Show, the Dr. Mike Show, Brad from Los Angeles, all on the Nova M Radio Network. And I want to send out a special thanks to Michael Moore, who has been hooking up to tonight's broadcast and sent a bunch of folks our way. So thank you, Mr. Moore. He may be joining us later tonight. I'll be broadcasting all night until 3 a.m. Eastern time on the Nova M Radio Network. Anyway, we're going to check in real quick with Danielle Ivory, see if we can get some more details on what happened in Philly before we go over to Greg Palast. Danielle, are you with us?
I am here, yes, hello.
Hi there. Can you give us a very quick idea what is going on? Emily explained that folks have been not showing up on the poll books in Philadelphia and being forced to vote provisionally even though they're still registered. Do we have that story correct?
Yes. I've been covering voting issues in Philly, and I'm here today. And basically, people have found that even though they registered well before the deadline, that their names have been missing from the local poll books, which I'm told is not uncommon. I think the poll books are sometimes out of date. But even though they've been checked centrally, that their names are registered, that they are indeed registered in Pennsylvania, they are still being forced to vote with provisional ballots, which seems to me an excessive use of provisional ballots since they don't get counted tonight.
Well, it certainly does, and we've got some late breaking news, in fact, along these lines, that lawyers now from the NAACP Philadelphia branch and our friend John Bonifaz of voteraction.org have now filed an emergency lawsuit in Philadelphia. They're heading to court here because of this problem, and that Philadelphia officials are failing to meet the Secretary of State's order to count emergency paper ballots on election night. Now, John Bonifaz, who is filing this suit, this just came across the wire.
Yeah, Brad.
He was supposed to be with us in the next hour, but Danielle, is this part of the same case here?
Well, it's related. It's not exactly the same case, and I do think the update on that is that Common Pleas Court Judge Chris Wogan has found that there are no violations. So, I believe they just lost that case.
Really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mike, you had a question?
Yes, what I wanted to talk about, I mean, I understand what you guys are talking about, the possible irregularities in Pennsylvania. That's my home state. I actually grew up in Philadelphia. But the breaking news from NBC is that NBC is now projecting that Senator Barack Obama is claiming the Pennsylvania prize, and that is huge news because pundits and critics have said that had McCain taken Pennsylvania, out of the blue column into the red, he would be in the game, but that if he had not taken take in Pennsylvania, then it pretty much was game over. So, Peter, Brad, I'd like to hear your thoughts on Senator Obama, at least NBC projecting him taking the Pennsylvania prize.
Well, it's pivotal, and Mike, here again, we're in this gray zone, because the exit polls are what are driving the networks to make these projections, and what we have to sit tight for is to make sure that in these critical battleground states that the official tally replicates the exit polls at the end of the night or at the end of the cycle here, and that's what we don't know at this point.
Yes. No,
absolutely. But nonetheless, exciting news for the Barack Obama campaign.
It could be. Huge news. CNN, along these lines, by the way, projects Obama wins. This is from CNN. Take it for what it's worth. Obama wins in New Jersey, Illinois, and Connecticut. No surprises there. McCain takes South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. Really, no surprise there either. Let me finish up real quick, with Danielle, so we can get to Greg Palast shortly. Actually, Bonifaz is in court, right? So he's not going to be able to join us now. We don't know. Okay, we're going to find out. So I want to get over to Greg Palast, covering a lot here, Danielle. So is legal action being taken concerning these voters who have been removed from the rolls in Philly, no matter which way Pennsylvania goes?
You know, I'm not sure if they've been removed from the rolls, and I don't want to suggest that there's anything malicious going on, but I do think that someone should be looking out for their rights, because they're basically getting disenfranchised tonight. And as far as I know, it's not really being covered in the mass media.
We're covering it now. We are the mass media. Thank you, Danielle. Really appreciate the report. Stay in touch with us as things move ahead and as they get hopefully resolved positively in favor of the voters, and that's who I think we all support tonight. We're going to jump over to Greg Palast, who, do we have Greg, right?
Yep, you got me.
Oh, Greg Palast, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the big, big, big Nova M, Dr. Mike, Peter B. Collins, Brad Blog Show.
Yeah.
How are you?
I bet you can't repeat that fast.
Oh, I can, and I will until 3 a.m. What are you seeing out there, Mr. Palast? Are we having the problems, the concerns that you had been warning us about?
Yeah, actually, we do. I mean, what's been covered, you know, what's happening here is not whether Obama's going to lose, because the demographic information I'm getting out of the University of Minnesota is that it's an avalanche, okay? That there's no way that Obama can lose this based on the new demographics and who's rolling out to vote. Mm-hmm. Massive 90% turnout of registered voters. Forget the low numbers. People, you have to look at registered voter percentages. It is crushing what's happening, and it's the new demographic. So it's over in terms of, it's just over. That's number one. But that's the horse race stuff. I'm covering the non-vote, who's not getting counted, and what we're being cheated out of right now as we speak. Obama,
well, that's right,
and the voters are being cheated out of the avalanche that should be recorded, including the state of Georgia, where we had over 500,000 voters, new voters registered. It actually should be an Obama state right now, except that they have knocked out, they have declared that they have now challenged 50,000 voters there, the Secretary of State. So we've got 1 in 10 of the new voters are being challenged.
50,000 have been challenged or purged?
50,000 challenges, 550,000,
wow,
though, new voters. So, again, I think the Obama strategy is not to fight the suppression, but to basically crush it. But nevertheless, that's what I'm seeing. We're in the process of a theft out of Georgia. I'm already getting calls. I mean, I got a crew out in all the states getting calls in, you know, my name's not there. And I'm getting that. I reported for BBC television from New Mexico, where 1 in 9 voters in the Democratic primary caucus was denied the right to vote. The Democratic Party said, don't worry, it'll all be taken care of. And I spoke to Kim Reed Deemer, who lost her vote in February. She says, once again, she went in. She's not there. She's missing from the voter rolls again. So we're seeing it in New Mexico, another swing state. And, of course, in Colorado, where we had 1 in 9 voters purged, it looks like one of the two Udall brothers are running for Senate, one in New Mexico and one in Colorado. It looks like the Senate seat in Colorado will be safe no matter what for the Democrats, but 1 in 5 voters being purged from the voter rolls, that should be Obama state also. What I'm afraid of here is not so much that Obama will lose. I'm afraid that we're going to have about 6 million provisional ballots this time. We had 3 million last time. It looks like we're heading towards 6 million provisional ballots. Write that number down, people. Probably 2 million will not be counted. there's probably a half dozen states there that,
and that's
should,
going to affect...
that should be Obama states we're going to lose. But in terms of for those who are renting the tux for the inaugural, it probably won't make the difference. It's
and that's
going that to big.
Well, it's going to affect those House races, and ABC News is also projecting Obama takes Pennsylvania, as is MSNBC. Dr. Mike?
Yes, sir. No, I think Peter B., you're up next, brother.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Greg, when you look at the landscape here, if the Obama strategy is to just crush it and roll up what I call a margin of larger than the margin of graft, then we probably won't fix the problems. And we'll go sailing into the future here with people saying, oh, well, it worked in 08.
I got to tell you, one of the terrible things that, you know, Mike, I wrote a comic book, which, by the way, Nova M. and Peter B., Mike Beloy, yourself, Brad, are co-sponsors of. I wrote it with Bobby Kennedy called Steal Back Your Vote. The Obama himself, we interviewed him for the comic book, investigative comic book, and the Rolling Stone article. He said he was very concerned about vote suppression in the Southwest and the integrity of the vote there. He's the first Democratic candidate ever I've ever heard express that concern. And so did Howard Dean, chairman of the party. He's very worried. But I got to tell you, the state officials don't want, they're not crazy about having these new voters, like in New Mexico, where the Brennan Center for Justice sued Bill Richardson for suppressing the Hispanic vote. I mean, this is so you have to understand there's a lot of Democrats uncomfortable with those people that, as Hillary Clinton's campaign manager once said, all look like Facebook. they're afraid of this new electorate, and unfortunately that's another reason why we may not get the voter protection we need. They'll also, as you say, they'll hit the snooze button. In 2006, a lot of congressional seats were lost to the Democrats, but because they took control of the House, they said, we don't care.
Yeah.
You know, we're too busy celebrating. So I still tell people, steal back your vote. Do go and download for free the Nova M Steal Back Your Vote comic book, stealbackyourvote.org.
Yeah.
And I'll keep getting in those reports. Like I say, it doesn't look good in terms of voter integrity from New Mexico. Georgia's the worst case. Virginia, you've got the massive line problem. And Indiana, we're looking at a half a million people.
Okay, we'll be back right after this little short message break.
Greg Palast, thank you very much.
You're the best. Bye.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
As a boy, I worked the fields to help make ends meet, so I know firsthand how a slow economy hurts families who can't pay the bills.
Senator Abel Maldonado.
That's why I'm working to bring jobs to California and keep costs down on working people. It's why I'm fighting to reduce reliance on foreign oil by working to expand usage of solar power and renewable energy. And why I fought special interest to provide increased access to prescription drugs.
Senator Maldonado earned a 95% rating from the California Chamber of Commerce for his efforts to improve the economy. Americans for Tax Reform honored Abel as a hero of the taxpayer.
Government has failed taxpayers time and time again. That's why I authored legislation requiring independent audits of government agencies. And that's why I returned tens of thousands in pay and living expenses to taxpayers.
Senator Abel Maldonado, independent leadership for us.
Paid for by Maldonado for Senate, 2008.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, I am checking the Caltrans boards, and all roads and highways are clear at this moment. So enjoy your commute. Now for some weather. Tonight is mostly clear with lows around 40. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Here are some temperatures for this evening. King City is 50 and clear. Monterey is 56 degrees and clear. Seaside, 54 degrees. Salinas is 56 degrees. And Santa Cruz is 50 degrees and clear. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Please remember to go vote, everybody. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Okay, welcome back to our special election night coverage live from Nova M Radio here in Phoenix, Arizona. We will be resuming coverage with our special correspondents out in Los Angeles and also San Francisco at the bottom half of the hour. But want to give the local people here a chance to weigh in with your thoughts here, so let's get back to those freedom lines. The number locally, 602-258-8800, and for the national listeners on the Nova M Radio Network, 1-800-989-1480. Let's go to Greg on the line from Litchfield Park. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, Greg, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, sir, how you doing today?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say, basically, I work at Sky Harbor Airport.
Mm-hmm.
I work for the airlines, and I got up at 3 a.m. to go to work. I'm just leaving work about a half an hour ago, driving to the poll right now to vote.
Mm.
And I find it ironic that I'm hearing a lot of rhetoric out there about how the Democrats and Obama are going to win by landslide, and you know, basically, Democrats can say what they want to say, and I just think that if you look back on McCain's record, I think that you'll see an outstanding record of, about a person that really cares about this country.
I don't disagree with you, Greg. I think he's an American hero. He's served his country admirably,
right,
and I don't think anyone's disputing that tonight.
But I want to go into a deeper situation where, you know, this station and other people that think that, you know, Obama's going to do everything that, you know, for everybody in the country and not give us a chance to go out there and vote who we want to vote for. I think there's a lot of persuasion going on, and, you know, that's not really fair, you know.
Well, what do you mean not being able to vote for who you want to vote for? I mean, no one...
Well, I mean, basically what I'm hearing tonight is that, well, you know, it's already landslide, and Obama's already won, and blah, blah, blah.
No one said that. Look,
like, you know, well, whatever, you know.
Greg, but no one has said that yet. What I have just said, the only thing that I've commented on is that he's won Pennsylvania, and that part of the linchpin of the strategy of Senator John McCain was to win Pennsylvania, to take that blue state away from Obama and make it red, and that if McCain was able to successfully do that, Greg, then he had a pretty reasonable chance to make it a close race, and you know, it's anybody's game, but based on what we're seeing now, I'm not calling the race. I'm not saying it's Obama in a landslide. All I'm reporting to you is that Obama has, according to exit polling, won Pennsylvania. It's early in the evening. We'll see what happens. But listen, I appreciate your comments.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right, it's Greg from Litchfield Park weighing in with his thoughts.
All right, we'll rejoin Dr. Mike Newcomb here in a few minutes, but I want to talk to Peter V. in Salinas, who's called into the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
It's been so long since I've heard you greet me in that official way. How are you, Peter?
Good, thank you. Generally, I reserve my calls because of the quality of the people that Mr. Collins brings on every day. and again, tonight is no exception. Peter, I actually got a view of a Sequoia optical ballot scanner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad's been warning us about these nefarious devices, and quite honestly, I'm here to report it's not exactly a profile in security. Peter, I've seen egg cartons with more security features than this Sequoia scanner. Now, I watched them feed my ballot into this thing, and there were no red or green LEDs, no visible graphic interface, no printout, not a sound, not a light, nada. And, Peter, my comment is at least when I go to the casinos in Vegas, I at least get spinning wheels and lights, and occasionally I get a quarterback. I'm not really sure I got my vote counted. Your comment?
Well, first of all, your line about security and egg cartons is a keeper, and I give you 5 points for that. Secondly, we've taken a look at these machines before. I don't know if you recall, but way back there in 2006, your former Registrar of Voters in Monterey County, Tony Anshundo, brought a touchscreen machine over to KRXA, and Brad was on the phone, and I was there actually touching the touchscreen. And these are rickety machines. I mean, Radio Shack built better Tandy computers in the early 1980s than the crap that they sell to election officials. And the security issues, now you're talking about the op scanner, and I don't want to confuse people here. The one that I examined was a full-blown touchscreen DRE. And you look at this thing, and you cast a vote on it, you enter data, and you have no confidence that that information is actually being collected the way you intended, because the internal memory of this computer, it's a CPU, records one set of information. There's also often a hard drive that is separate from the CPU that collects data. And now they've added the toilet paper trail to try to salvage some of those machines. And there is no guarantee that the three different points where data is collected, the CPU, the hard drive, and the toilet paper roll, actually line up. And even if you, as a very vigilant voter, look at the paper trail and say, yes, that's what I meant, you have no way of accessing the hard drive to make sure that that's actually the way it was stored. Now, when it comes to these optical scanners, the thing that I feel a little bit better about is that they're not remotely hackable. What we saw with some of the hack tests on the DREs is that you could hack them using, you know, a cell phone or a PDA or another kind of remote device parked in your car in the parking lot of the voting place. And that by infecting one machine, you could spread a virus to every machine in the system. And so there are vulnerabilities with the optical scanners, but it requires an insider to mess with them. And I'm not saying that's not a vulnerability we have to confront, but the other methods of hacking allow outsiders to interfere with the collection or tabulation of votes, and that's an even greater vulnerability. So, Peter, thanks for checking in today, and thanks for your report on your optical scanner.
Peter, my last comment, when you say no confidence, I quote Keith Olbermann, bingo.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Peter V. Great to hear from you here on Election Day. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo Trustee on November 4th.
I'm Soquel resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, Soquel, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a Soquel Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.
We continue our Election Day special coverage. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who's with us every week, our go-to guy on election integrity issues, joining us from Los Angeles. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Peter. Some big news, by the way.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, some, of course, big news everywhere, but just real quickly, NBC's calling Kay Hagan the winner over Elizabeth Dole, and it sounds like we are rejoining now with the Nova M Radio Network. I'll break the rest of that news momentarily when we're joined by Dr. Mike in Phoenix, KPHX. They're joining us. I'll be with you all night long until the midnight.
Okay, welcome back. 34 minutes after the hour. This is Mike Newcomb, the good doctor, here live from the flagship station for Nova M Radio, 1190 Nova M, here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I believe we're now going to be rejoining our special correspondents out in L.A. and San Francisco, radio talk show host Peter B. Collins and also blogger Brad Friedman. Gentlemen, are you with us?
Yes, we are. Welcome back, Dr. Mike. Great to have everybody back here together. We'll have some news. A guest, Video of the Vote, will be with us in a bit, John Ennis. But some breaking news here as things are rolling ahead that I wanted to get in before we get to your busy phones there, Dr. Mike. NBC News is calling Kay Hagan the winner over Elizabeth Dole.
Wow.
In North Carolina.
There's the end of a dynasty.
It sure is.
How did she do that without a God?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I guess God was on Kay Hagan's side after all. well. Go figure. And equally big news, I think, up in New Hampshire, in a bitter rematch, Gene Shaheen, the Democrat, has now defeated John Sununu, the incumbent there. Huge bellwethers, both of these things, particularly down there in North Carolina, where Elizabeth Dole has been unseated. Pretty amazing. And the end of, you're right, the end of a political dynasty, perhaps. And, you know, somebody had mentioned the other day, the last time a Republican presidential ticket had won without a Bush or Nixon on the ticket. Anybody know the year? Mike? Peter?
What was the question? Last time what?
The last time a Republican ticket won, went to the White House without either a Bush or a Nixon
Herbert
on
Hoover.
The ticket.
It would have to probably be before that.
Yeah, we got to go to Hoover.
52.
1928.
28,
yeah,
wow.
Herbert Hoover. That's
right.
Hoover's last
Herbert
term.
Hoover. The last time the Republicans were able to win without a Bush or a Nixon. I say more Bushes and more Nixons on the future ticket. What do you think, guys?
No, oh, no, I don't know. I've had enough.
You've had enough?
Give me a rest, yeah.
Right.
Hey, Peter, I did a little research for you on that Timothy Robbins thing, on why his name didn't show up. And according to our investigators on the scene, he actually was registered as Bull Durham.
Oh.
So I think that kind of solves the mystery there.
Well, you know, speaking of misregistered, Rick Santorum, you guys remember him, right?
The Neanderthal from Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, apparently his vote has been challenged in Pennsylvania. Well, what's good for the goose, I suppose. Good for the gander. Rick Santorum, the former senator, his residency is in dispute down there in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Poor fellow.
Now, Brad, I know you've been very busy, but do you have any updates on Ann Coulter, where she voted, and if she did so legally?
Good point. Thanks for bringing that up. No, I don't. I'm going to go get her. And just to remind especially our listeners in Phoenix, when it comes to the concerns about voter fraud, Ann Coulter did commit exactly that down in the state of Florida. And yet, with all the nonsense, utter nonsense about Acorn, no peeps about Ann Coulter having committed voter fraud down there. Two third-degree felonies and one misdemeanor. Go
figure. She turned sideways, Brad, and kind of disappeared. So.
She slipped under the door. She may have slipped herself into the ballot box.
Yeah.
No question about it. Well, listen, gentlemen, let's get to some of the callers here.
Sure.
Let me give out the national number, 1-800-989-1480. And locally, we got a number at 602-258-8800 for local callers. Let's go to Chris on the line from Cave Creek. Chris, welcome to the program. Hello, Chris. Chris? All right, let's put Chris back on. Chris, we got you?
I'm here.
Hey, what's happening, Chris?
Hi, you guys are like three of my most favorite talk show hosts. I'm so so glad to talk to all of you. It's great.
Well, thank you, Chris. And do you have a ticket to the McCain funeral tonight?
Oh, God. I'm just going to sit back and laugh and laugh. A little schadenfreude, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to point out something that only a few people have actually raised, and that is the exit polls, until about 2000, used to be quite accurate in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They were just as valid. In fact, the United Nations bases whether an election is fair often on the exit polls in other countries, in Germany, for example, or places like that. They actually go with the exit polls, and it very closely matches the paper ballots that they have. Only since we started introducing electronic voting in this country have we lost our accuracy in our exit polls. So,
well, let's pause for a second here, Brad, and explain to us the way the networks modify. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but when they take exit polls, they actually massage them to get them to match the official tally. And this,
they
of course,
them,
this of course takes away the benchmark that we're looking for as a way of evaluating the accuracy of that official tally.
Well, that's right. And then they don't release their raw data, so we can't look at it. That's why we had all those problems in 2004. And I'm happy to say we've got alternative exit polls this time around, as we discussed, for example, with Steve Freeman earlier. But, yeah, they actually change the – they assume that the results that come back, even if they are from inaccurate voting systems, and that's what we have in this country, they assume that that is the gold standard. So they simply adjust their data to match those, and then they keep the data proprietary, because human beings, apparently, unless you're in the mainstream corporate media, you're not allowed to see that information. And that's one of the reasons why we're trying to, we've been raising money to have these alternate exit polls, to, and we'll release that information transparently this time.
Appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, if you guys want to participate, anybody in the program right now, just give us a shout at 1-800-989-1480. Also locally, 602-258-8800. Let's go to Gilbert on the line. Gilbert, welcome to the program.
I'm over here. I'm standing at a pole at Westchester Care Center in Tempe. I'm holding up signs for a blesser and Shapira and a lady here named Lana. She's a sophomore at ASU, is backing Hermes, and we're here, and there's nobody coming here to vote anymore. It appears it's all gone. And I called you to find out what's going on in the world.
All right, well, we appreciate that. Gilbert, hey, why don't you guys take a shot at that? Peter B. or...
Okay, we've got John Ennis on the line now. John, thanks for joining us here on our Election Day special.
Hello.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm not nearly as tired as I was at 5:30 this morning. I don't know why that is, why it works that way on election day. It's so, you're so tired for most of the day,
yeah,
and then you just get more and more excited at night. But yeah, so.
Well, John, I just want to mention that you were on my program recently to talk about your documentary about prior elections called Free for All, and that's still available as a free download at freeforall.tv. I have that right, don't I?
Yes, you do.
That's all from memory.
All right.
So tell us what's going on today with Video the Vote. What kinds of things are coming up, and what reports are you hearing?
Well, I'll give you the overview. You know, I was coordinating Ohio, and we had teams working out of Columbus, Cleveland, Youngstown, and Cincinnati, as well as some other parts. And, you know, compared to Ohio elections past, this was really tame. That's not to say there weren't problems and lots of lines, but, you know, the kind of disenfranchisement that we would hear about in Ohio was more of the do-it-yourself kind of disenfranchisement, like poll workers telling, I think this was in Fremont, Ohio, we had a report that poll workers were telling African-Americans to line up in one line to vote and white people to line up in another line to vote, which I don't think we did for, like, the last 50 years, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but actually the more alarming kinds of reports are coming out of the other states, you know, where there's states where it's suddenly a play and it never was before, you know. So in Missouri, which we knew would be a hard state, you know, to get the to get voters to be accurately included, you know, we got a number of reports of police intimidation there, of like not, you know, I mean, in election protection, I always tell people, like, well, because of the voting rights era, you definitely want to get a shot if there's like a police car in front of a polling station, and because that can be considered harassment. And we did actually see one or two of those in Ohio today, but in Cincinnati, we had reports of guys like going up to the line and saying, hey, you'll get arrested if you try to vote, or, you know, going up and down the line in a segue, I guess, in homage to Arrested Development.
Was there a...
hassle voters. So it's very clear that there's still a lot of problems in just the basics and how we run our elections, let alone the fundamental problems of how we run our elections with these untraceable voting machines. And then there's the whole flawed two-party system approach, which is the biggest form of disenfranchisement.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. I know we're talking a lot about voter fraud, suppression, et cetera, but do you guys think there's anything we've done right with the voting system right now?
That's a good question.
It's Russian roulette. It really is. John, are you finding, I know there's been a lot of improvements, certainly since 08, but what are your thoughts on that, John Ennis?
You know, I would say that Jennifer Brunner did a good job, I would say, in getting up to this, because there was a lot of effort made, because it's from the top down. It's not just some good policies, not just early voting that makes the difference. It's the fact that, you know, there was an eagerness at certain boards of elections to correct even the smallest issues. If someone was given a provisional ballot and they shouldn't have, and they made a fuss about it, you know, and explained that they were properly registered and went to the Board of Elections or something, you know, they would actually try, and they would give this person a proper ballot to vote in. Like, can you imagine Michael Boo doing that?
The former Cuyahoga County registrar, and we're stuck with him down in San Diego,
God,
by the way.
That guy was just a masterpiece. I mean,
let me ask you real quick, because we're going to have to get to a break here, but John Ennis, you've got folks combing the country, videotaping for the first time, and I'd like to think that's helping to keep us safer, frankly. It makes it harder for the bad guys to get away with it, but was there any particular spot that you saw? You know, I've been concerned about Virginia, because I've seen reports all day about machines breaking down and so forth. Were you guys getting any more reports out of any particular state than another with the problem reports?
Yeah, Virginia was bad. Indiana, of course, bad. I mean, we heard from someone in Indiana saying that, like, they got registered by Acorn, and when they showed up to vote, they weren't allowed to vote. They were told they weren't on the list, and the worker told them the most people who had been registered by Acorn were not on this list. So.
John Ennis, videothevote.org. Thank you, my friend, and check out freeforall.tv. Thanks for all you're doing. We're going to toss it back to Dr. Mike. I'm going to stay with Peter B. Mike Malloy is at the top of the hour. And then I'll be joining you all again from the midnight Eastern time hour until the wee hours of 3 a.m.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on King Road at Passant Road, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. CHP is on the way. Taking a look at northbound 101, just north of San Juan Road, there is a traffic hazard, and CHP is on the scene there. Now on northbound 101, just south of eastbound Highway 152, there is a mattress in lane number 1, so watch out there. Now for some weather. Tonight is mostly clear with lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with highs in the 50s to upper 60s. Right now, Monterey is 56 and clear, Salinas is 55, Santa Cruz is 50, Hollister is 52 degrees and clear, and Gilroy is 54 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Please get out and vote tonight. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
Hello, I'm Frank O'Connell, a candidate for Marina City Council. As a resident of Marina for over 28 years and a member of Marina Planning Commission since February 2007, I've become concerned about the economic and physical growth of our city. Many decisions by your elected and appointed officials lead me to believe that they are out of touch with what is in the best interest of the residents and businesses of the city. There are many wonderful aspects to Marina, a new library, a new high school, and a wonderful opportunity to properly revitalize the downtown area and the airport business park. You can only assure that your concerns are addressed first by making certain that your elected officials make decisions that are based on those concerns and your vision for Marina. As your councilman, I will strive to meet with you at town hall meetings so that I can learn what you want for your city prior to making those decisions. I will apply my knowledge and experience to make certain that your concerns about the direction and growth of Marina come first and Marina's campaign for change succeeds. I am Frank O'Connell, and I approve this message.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman with me live from Los Angeles here. It's our Election Day coverage focused on the election itself, the process, and what could possibly go wrong with an American election.
In this country, everything's fine, nothing to worry about. And I do hope, you know, that folks don't get the idea, depending on how things go. Well, I hope they don't think that I'm going anywhere, because we've got a mess here on our hands, no matter what happens tonight. And, you know, it's Greg Palast had been urging people to overwhelm them with numbers. We'll see if that's what happened here. Either way, as far as I'm concerned, come Wednesday, that'd be tomorrow, we fix this damn electoral system.
I agree. We've got to focus on that and not let a landslide, would it, you know, appears there's a landslide in the making here, not let that distract us from the very real problems. Now, let's go to the scene of the crime from Ohio, 2004. Bob Fitrakis is one of the hardest working election activists there, and he and his colleague Harvey Wasserman have been on the case from day one. Bob, welcome to our program this evening.
Oh, glad to be on, Brad.
But that's Peter. But hey, Bob, I'm here.
Peter.
I'm here. We're throwing everybody at you, Bob Fitrakis. How are you, sir?
Good, good. That's Brad. Good to be on, Peter.
That's fine. Now, we talked to Jennifer Bruner a couple of hours ago, and she gave us a pretty positive report. Not a lot of long lines. We're not seeing huge malfunctions of machinery. Give us your take, Bob Fitrakis.
Well, I would agree with the first her first two assessments. Number one, that the lines were only relatively long in the morning, hour and a half. They actually weren't really that long the rest of the day. The formula, they reallocated the machine based on the length of the ballot and other factors, which seemed to work out really well, at least in the Columbus area. So that's true. And there was a few reports of vote flipping, you know, 3-4 reports. But the big story is probably this massive number of provisionals, is that we were getting consistent stories of a disproportionate amount of people in the inner city being forced to vote provisional and the judges being poorly trained. But the real breaking news we're concerned with is, which may be premature panic, but Warren County reported that its computers had gone down.
No!
Which always scares the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Because us in election protection, you know,
Warren County. Yeah.
Now, can't they just switch to the servers in Knoxville?
That's what we're worried about. And Warren County, of course, the place where they had locked out the press and the public in 2004, one of the last states to come in. Not a good sign when computers go down in Warren County. Bob, what you're saying about the provisional ballots, by the way, we had Greg Palast on a little bit earlier. He said the number to look for was 6 million provisional ballots in not Ohio, but
you know,
in the country.
At the polls, we're getting 10, 15, 20%. At the precincts. I mean, just an abnormally high rate of provisional. And in some of the poll books, it was saying a person must vote provisional, but there was no explanation. And no one at the poll seemed to be able to explain it. But, you know, Triad controls the majority of the electronic poll books in Columbus, the notoriously partisan Republican right-wing company, so that scares us. But, you know, unless Warren County gets up and running or if Claremont goes down, usually that means they're waiting for the vote count out of Cleveland so they know how many to add. Remember, Butler, Claremont, and Warren had more than the total of Bush's win in Ohio. They came in at about 140,000 votes.
That's from my part of the state down near Cincinnati, yeah.
Yes, yeah, in the southwest there. But Claremont's famous for going down in 2004. And then again in 2005 in the special election where Gene Smith beat Paul Hackett with a last-second surge after the machines went
down. After the computers went down again, that's right. That's always a bad sign when that happens. Bob Petrakis, I know that since we're coming up on the back of the hour here, I want to just touch base real quickly. Mike Connell, speaking of triad, you had him under oath yesterday. I believe you were in there with Cliff Arnebeck with this mastermind from the 04 election reporting system. Under oath, any news you can give us from that compelled testimony that Mike Connell was forced to give to you guys yesterday?
I think begrudgingly, it's, Cliff has already gone public with this. It's in the public record. I can talk a little about it. But the most interesting thing, I think, is the fact that while originally he couldn't recall, he did say that maybe he brought Triad in to Ohio election politics, and maybe that Smart Tech was bundled with his company.
Maybe?
Yeah, is that originally he kind of denied it, and then he began to recall the questions of bundling. And while he couldn't quite remember, he thinks maybe that happened. So it would put, you know, Triad, Smart Tech, and the whole crew together in one area. So I thought that was real interesting. He tried originally to claim Smart Tech was just like Verizon, it was just a provider, and then he was forced one by one to admit that he knew various sites were in fact there, like the RFC site.
We're going to come back.
WB43.com.
We're going to come back to a lot more of that, I have a feeling, Bob, in the days and weeks ahead. I got to get to the back of the hour here so Peter can get out. I want to thank you for jumping in here. Toss in some quick news to Peter B's listeners. Peter, it's being reported to me that one Congressman Tom Feeney in Florida has apparently lost the race.
Really? He wasn't able to rig the vote this time?
Apparently not. They, you know, they got rid of the touchscreen. They're back to paper. So Tom Feeney may be history. This is just being given to me here by Desi in studio. And ABC News is, confirming it. 58% to 40% over Tom Feeney with 72% reporting from ABC News.
You must be heartbroken, Brent.
I hate to see him go. Geez, let's see if we can get Clint Curtis on late night. I will be, just so you know, Peter, on the NovaM Radio.com network all night long.
You will also join us. I just got confirmation that you will be on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, starting at 9 o'clock Pacific tonight.
Good deal.
My colleague Scott Dick will be taking over coverage on KRXA in just a few minutes, and he'll take it right up till 9 o'clock Pacific when Brad will return. And
it has been a delight to share this night of all of them with you, my friend, Peter B.
Well, and I just hope it turns out the way we're hoping, and that, you know, our dreams are not dashed here overnight by a couple of keystrokes made by a few hackers and sinister operatives. So,
well, indeed. But whether it our dreams are dashed or not, it has still been a pleasure covering these events, as we did together back in 2006. It's great to be together with someone who has followed this for so long as you have, not just the horse race, but also the track conditions. It is what America is built on, and we have to pay attention and get these problems fixed.
Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. Why don't we talk on Friday?
Okay, I'll be there.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for listening to this wild edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations. Share a podcast with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
And until then, who cares about the clouds?
We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. will train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time. It's all done online. And it's all done when you have the time. Call me now. 702-299-5789. No obligation. That's 702-299-5789. Or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. One of John McCain's top aides has told CBS's Mark Ambender, at this point, we need a miracle. And that is a quote. Excitement is building in Chicago, where Barack Obama plans a major speech tonight. CBS News is estimating that when the votes are counted, Obama will win Pennsylvania and, for that matter, 15 other states, including D.C. Governor Ed Rendell in Pennsylvania.
His performance in the debates, the way he handled the economic pressures, what he said and the calm way he reacted and the leadership that he exerted, I think really turned a lot of voters around.
Live now from Chicago's Grant Park, CBS's Steve Kathan.
And Harley, a lot of young faces in this crowd. A lot of cheers as states go for Obama. There was a real big cheer for Pennsylvania. Chuck Runyard brought his family from Bloomington, Illinois to be part of this.
Gigantic. The biggest thing, I think, that's why I brought my kids. You know, it's history.
And these folks, while optimistic, may have to be patient. It could be hours before they hear from Obama. Live in Chicago, Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Anxious times, no doubt, in McCain country, where CBS News has projected that he has 11 states so far. Let's go live now to Phoenix, CBS's Steve Futterman.
And Harley, the loss of Pennsylvania, just devastating news for John McCain. Almost every scenario for a McCain win that was detailed for us this week by the McCain campaign has included Pennsylvania. Without Pennsylvania, it will be very difficult for McCain to beat Barack Obama. Here at McCain headquarters, they are announcing all the states McCain has won. They have not yet announced the loss of Pennsylvania. Live at McCain headquarters in Phoenix, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The Obama movement is estimated to have swept three Republicans so far from the Senate.
Democrat Mark Warner winning the open seat in Virginia and two incumbents being toppled, John Sununu in New Hampshire and Elizabeth Dole in North Carolina. Dole, a fixture in American politics along with her husband Bob, defeated by Kay Hagan, and Sununu by Jean Shaheen. He's a moderate Republican, but New England is so solidly Democratic now it didn't matter. Some early gains in the House, too. Democrats have picked up three Republican seats.
That's CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Here's a voter in Florida, which has not yet been estimated, by the way.